from the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or a good morning, as the case might be, across all these many time zones, from the Hawaiian and Haitian island chains all the way east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, wherever the pole is these days, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Well, I had an extremely frustrating day today. I'm sure you're familiar with those kinds of days. And I haven't yet decided whether I'm going to tell you about it, but I probably will. I'm still sort of mulling it over, how I want to react to this. So I'm going to just sort of think about it, probably tell you about it next hour. The Ohio River is on the rampage. Evacuations ordered along the raging Ohio Tuesday. National Guard involved, called in to fill sandbags. And the rising water from storms that have now left 50 people, 50 dead. The president was on talking about the weird weather himself, beginning to sound like he didn't quite understand why we're having so many weird weather disasters. All of a sudden, he took an aerial tour over areas of Arkansas, flattened. It looked like Armageddon by 14 tornadoes over the weekend. And he seemed, even the president seemed somewhat puzzled by the number of weather tragedies that are beginning to occur. And what I am personally afraid of and anticipate is that this is only the beginning. I'm not sure when it will dawn on anybody in officialdom that the weather, for whatever the reason you want to imagine, environmental or behavioral or creator-related or the Russians with little machines or, you know, whatever you want to believe about the weather changes, the fact of the matter is I think it's going to dawn on officialdom soon that, in fact, the changes are occurring. So you may want to comment on that. At least I clearly see them, anticipated them, felt them, and am not surprised by them. But a lot of people are, and the president seemed kind of surprised by the number of disasters we've had lately. Predictably, by a vote, the Republican-controlled, but insufficiently obviously controlled Senate, rejected a proposed balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution, so that, and that's one reason I haven't done a lot on that, because I knew exactly where that vote was going, so that is no surprise. Pre-teenage marijuana use in the United States has doubled, from about, 230,000 children in 95 to, get this, 460,000 in 1996. Still recalling the prisoner the other day who wrote me this really interesting letter, which suggested that he was a prisoner in the war on crime, and therefore should be accorded, was a POW, and should be accorded all of the privileges that would normally be accorded a prisoner of war versus a regular prisoner. So he's a prisoner of the war on crime. Violent extremist groups have grown in number and violence since Oklahoma City 2 years ago. There is an organization that monitors hate crime activity in the U.S. The Klan Watch Project of the Southern Poverty Law Center said at least 858 so-called patriot groups were active in 50 U.S. states last year, including 380 armed militias. The figures represent a 6% rise in the number of groups identified in 1994-95. So the level of frustration out there is obviously growing. I want to remind the audience this Friday night, Thursday night, Friday morning, we'll have Ed Dames here, along with Kathy Kramer. Then Friday night, Saturday morning, I am pleased to announce, Alan Hale, co-discoverer of Hale-Bopp the Comet, Have you seen the comet yet?
Woo.
It is bright. It is impressive. And to the naked eye, it is becoming quite a sight. It's really worth losing a little bit of sleep over. About an hour before sun comes up in the morning. Hour and a half, maybe. Go out and take a look. Look east and then just a bit north. And about 30 or 40 degrees in the sky, and there she'll be. Looking like a big, bright, fuzzy star, only it's not. It's a comet, a big one. And it is going to continue to brighten. And I spoke with Alan Hale earlier today, and he said that he's got pretty good hopes for the way it's going right now, because it looks like it is going to continue to brighten. This will be the comet of a lifetime. And then various communications, like this one from Joe. Art, I may be alone in advocating the cloning of our species. He says, I believe it must be done immediately to take it out of the regulatory sphere of the federal government. It must be done by entrepreneurs. If the federal government is ever allowed to control this technology, it will be two steps forward for socialism. With the decision to clone or not to clone in the right privacy envelope, the sexual revolution will necessarily be reasoned anew. Thoughtful, responsible people will make the right decision. Well, that's an interesting point of view. As you know, the president the other day put at least a temporary total ban on any U.S. government money being used to clone any humans and asked private industry not to do it. Well, too late. It's going to be done. It's probably already been done. There is going to be soon a new Hawaiian island, and it's apparently going to be called L-O-I-H-I. Lohai? Lohai, is that correct? Does anybody out there know how to pronounce that? And scientists have been investigating this new island being formed by volcanic activity. You know, one day it's going to be a new island. Up she'll come. Anyway, they have found four-legged fish, and they have, I guess they have photographs, video. And the School of Ocean and Science and Technology is going to present a program on the Hawaii Undersea Geological Observatory project during a free reef talk presentation on Thursday. And there they will talk about the new island and the four-legged fish. Dear Art Bell, the guy with the bottomless hole has got nothing on us. We have a hole that is every bit as bottomless. However, we keep finding around the outside of ours things like refrigerators, TV tubes, and miles of fishing line. That's Don in Wilmington, North Carolina. So tonight we're going to pretty much do open lines. There was a big newspaper article about me in the Las Vegas Sun this afternoon. I wonder if any of you in Las Vegas happen to see that. And then this, Art, last Friday, our local newspaper had a story about a lady who saw a van-sized, triangular, glowing thing hovering in the sky. She supposedly got 1 minute and 15 seconds of video of it. I'll send you the newspaper article. It's on the front page of the Eugene Springfield Register Guard. Really? I would also like to get my hands, as you can imagine, my hot little paws on that video. So if anybody out there can arrange that, you know me, I'll get it right up there. A lot of people get on my case because, as you well know, I specialize in the weird, the bizarre, the unexplainable, sometimes the tragic. Strange stories, right? But I hereby accuse the media, the mainstream media, of not doing their homework, or at least appearing, in my opinion, every bit as inconsistent as some of the things you will hear on this show designed for the strange. One of the big stories this morning, and I'm sure you've heard it on the networks, is breast exams may not save lives. Say what? All these years, we have been subjected to commercials on television, some of them really heart-tugging commercials or PSAs, showing the women in our lives, our wives, our sisters, our mothers, our grandmothers, women and the important place they play in our lives, and how one out of so-and-so will get breast cancer and how they should be checking their own breasts, right? Now this, breast self-exams do not appear to prevent cancer deaths, detect any more cancers, or even lead to earlier diagnosis, according to early results of a large-scale study involving nearly 300,000 Chinese women that'll go for another 5 years. But basically, it is suggesting that breast self-examination does no good whatsoever. Now, I could go through an endless litany of things that science or the news media, mainstream, has told us one day are good for us, and the next day may be killing us. Have any of you noticed that trend? I mean, one day, or even for years, we think one thing, and then all of a sudden, it's the exact opposite. Butter's good for you. Butter's bad for you. Milk is good for everybody. Milk is not good for you at all. Sugar, it's killing you. And on and on and on. You know, the litany could go on forever. Any of the rest of you notice that? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hey, this is Jim in Farmington.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, it's been a long time since I've been able to talk to you, and I was the one that told you about the house-sized rocks, if you will, or ice particles that are going to fall here in Farmington.
And, remind me, I should remember, and I vaguely do, but rock-sized, let's get this straight, rock-sized...
House-sized...
House-sized...
Ice blocks, if
ice
you will.
Blocks. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was really scary.
It's going to really ruin a lot of days now for a lot of people. Now, when is this due to occur?
I think in the late spring here in the Four Corners area, and I think it's... I don't know that Farmington itself is going to get hit.
But when you think about it, a house-sized piece of rock...
Yeah.
...falling at terminal velocity...
Well, that's the interesting thing. I don't know that it's going to be falling at terminal velocity.
Well, it's just about has to.
Yeah.
I mean, where is it falling from?
Well, I got a feeling it's going to be some particles that are going to be coming off a hail bop.
No.
That's my feeling.
Well, trust me.
Yeah.
When I tell you they would be at terminal velocity, or probably very much more than terminal velocity.
Wow. Yeah.
See. So you think pieces of ice are going to break off and come heading toward us?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
well,
I really do.
Now, hail bop, at its closest moment, I think around March 22nd, somewhere in there, will be about 123 million miles away. That's a long way.
Yeah, that's a long way. I don't have any explanation for it, and it may be maybe into a lot of... Maybe not late spring, but maybe even early summer, or middle of the summer.
Well, maybe somebody up there is mixing a giant cosmic martini on the rocks.
Right on, you know.
All right, thank you very much for the call. I mean, how does somebody predict something like that? Where does that come from? House-sized pieces of rock to fall, perhaps on or near Farmington. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yeah, I was calling to say something about a parallel dimension.
Okay.
I'd like to say that I think there's a little space thing here about the story of Jesus and God. We know that they figured out how to do parallel dimension because, you know, they're supposed to be able to snap their fingers and they can have a brand new Earth of their own at any time. Okay, once
well, I know, but that doesn't necessarily require a parallel dimension.
No,
that simply all that requires is godlike power.
The science of how he did it.
No,
right.
Yeah, okay. Boom. In other words, in this same space continuum, time continuum, there could be another Earth. If God wanted it to be so, he would just say.
Right, and we could each have one, and eventually we will. It's just like the caveman. There was no way in hell he would believe he could.
And then, even another sun. Let there be light. A simple statement like that, and away you go. You got a son. If that's what you believe. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
Okay.
Hey, I was thinking, I think there's a meteorite or an asteroid or whatever you call it in my pool.
In your pool.
Right. There's like a, at the bottom of my pool, there's like a big rock that's like split and my pool's broke.
Really?
Wait,
yes, let's start at the beginning. Where are you?
I'm in California.
California.
San Diego.
Now, was the pool full of water?
Yeah, it still got water in it.
Uh-huh, so whatever it is, hit hard enough to crack the bottom of your pool?
Right.
Ooh. Now, presumably, a lot of water would have been displaced when such an event occurred.
It's like half full, I guess. Half empty, whatever you would say.
Well, is that the way it was before the thing hit?
Oh, no, it was full. I think a lot of it went out through the cracks seeped into the ground.
We've got to be straight here. The pool was full.
Right.
The thing hit, and the pool was then overnight half empty?
Right. So, now, I'm thinking it went through the crack.
Is the pool in your backyard?
Right.
Were you home?
No, I came home late one morning and...
And nobody had been home?
No.
Were there any reports from neighbors? I mean, this would be a major event. You know, people notice these things.
No, but my friend listens to your show and he told me that you had mentioned there was like meteor showers or something around here.
There were, yes.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, what does it look like?
Just looks like a rock. Big rock. So, should I call somebody, or what do I do with it?
What do you do with it?
I was thinking maybe I could get some cash or something out of it.
How big is it?
I don't know, probably about basketball, smaller than a basketball.
Pretty good size.
Yeah.
Have you attempted to bring it up?
No, I don't want to touch it. I think I'll get, like, you know, turn into Mothman or some kind of freak.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll make you into a regular person.
Well, I was thinking maybe somebody would buy it or something, but I don't even know if that's what it is yet. Like, who do I call?
Well, the problem is that how do we know that somebody didn't just, even you, chuck a rock into your pool saying, hey, it's a meteorite?
Yeah, but I was thinking if somebody's pulling a prank or something, it'd have to be pretty hard for it to break the pool.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's hard to imagine. How much breakage was there?
It's just a long crack, like, it goes straight along with the pool. Probably about 4 feet.
That's a pretty serious crack.
Yeah.
I
was thinking if you knew anybody that would trade, like, the meteor for, like, one of those Tickle Me Elmo dolls.
You want a Tickle Me Elmo?
Yeah,
that seems like that seemed like a very cheap trade to me, sir. You're selling out cheap. I mean, NASA says if we find the big green meteorite, you get $5,000, and you could tickle yourself to death for $5,000. So, I don't know. You decide. Tickle me, Elmo doll. From the high desert, this is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Art Bell is taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
See, it's all it takes is music like this to put me back in a better mood. I really had a very frustrating day, and now I have a caller who says he's got a meteorite in a swimming pool and will trade it for a Tickle Me Elmo doll. I think he's got other rocks as well, not in his pool. This administration, Art, has consistently advocated abortion of every kind. Clinton today said that he morally and spiritually opposed cloning. In both cases, it's an opposition to the creation of life. And in the case of abortion, it's literally advocating the destruction of human life. That's something to wonder about, isn't it? Caller has a, Faxer rather, has a point. It's Charlie in Houston. Thanks, Charlie. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Mark from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, listen, I have seen something in the Bible that I think points very strongly to another dimension. And for anybody who's been in any kind of Sunday school, they've probably heard the story of Moses dividing up the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yes.
Putting four to the north, four south, east, and west.
Yes.
The three tribes that are set off to the east, where the sun comes up first, are 186,400. Does that ring a bell with you?
Speed of sound?
Speed of light.
Yeah, that's right.
Speed of light. We have the speed of light, and it's amazing. The commentary that Moses, speaking the word of God immediately after that, says, these are the ones who break camp first. Kind of an interesting thought about speed of light.
Well, it is, isn't it? And it is, you know, Einstein suggests that when we achieve the speed of light, we become, our mass becomes infinite.
Right.
And maybe that simply is not true. Maybe there is another dimension out beyond the speed of light. The only way one could know for sure would be to get right on up there near the speed of light and turn on your headlights.
that's an odd thought. But
yes, well.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting coincidence that the speed of light would be there and that it would happen to just be the guys off in the east where the light comes in first.
Hey, it's worthy of consideration.
Well, I've enjoyed your show for many, many months, and I've told a lot of people about you, and we sure enjoy it, and it, you're very open-minded and give us a lot of encouragement to think and go places that we haven't gone before. So
that's what
keep up the good work.
Certainly suits me. Thank you. Yes, I'm going places we have not gone before. Society certainly is taking us in those directions, isn't it? Cloning. All of a sudden, cloning. I mean, out of nowhere, cloning. The stuff of science fiction novels only. Scientists squarely stating, of course, we're years and years away from that. You can talk about cloning if you want, but years and years away. Whoa, surprise. Now they've cloned monkeys. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How about truth or trash?
Maybe.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, I might do it. Of course, running open line talk radio here is kind of like that anyway.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. I mean, did you hear the guy with the... He was doing so well. The meteorite in the pool. I mean, I was ready to offer him something for the meteorite. And then he offers to trade it for a Tickle Me Elmo doll.
Yeah, I think he's been watching too much TV.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Art. Long time no talk to you, buddy.
All right. Where are you?
This is the professor. Haven't heard from me for a while, have you?
The professor.
That's right.
Where are you, professor?
I'm in Phoenix City, Alabama.
Phoenix City, Alabama. All right.
Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Hey, gee, it's been such a long time since I've talked to you. There's a few things I want to run by you. You know, are you aware that many of the people that come on your show, I could go and look at, like, a New Age bookstore listing? They're all there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you aware that you've had some really serious-minded guests on, like, Stan Deo and Norio Hayakawa?
I've had people of all disciplines, you know, mainstream
six Christians, and most of them make more sense than anybody. And let me explain. You have
Craig Roberts. Wait a minute. That translates to, I agree with them, so they're better guests.
Excuse me?
I said that translates to, I agree with them, so they're better guests. In other words, what you said was the Christians you've had on have made more sense than anybody else. And what you're really saying is, I like them because I agreed with them.
Well, I really enjoy the exploration of many other topics other than the New Age movement over and over and over again. Have you ever heard of Tex Mars and his newsletter, Flashpoint?
Tex Mars.
Yeah, you can get his newsletter free. One of the most intriguing individuals.
Who is Tex Mars?
Well, who is Tex Mars?
Yes.
Ask the question, ask the callers, and listen to the responses you'll get.
I'm asking you.
Okay. He is a minister that has a ministry called, Living Truth Ministries.
Living Truth Ministries.
Right. And he has, he's just a guy that examines everything, and many of the things he examines are some of the things I examine. Like, did you know that there's something called Project Lucid that's coming? Have you ever heard of Project Lucid or Lucent Technology?
Lucent Technology, yes,
of course. Yes, are you aware that 666 appears on the New King James Version Bible? Yeah, have you ever heard of Marilyn Ferguson, who's heading up the Prophets Conference?
I've heard that, certainly of the Prophets Conference, yeah.
Did you know she had a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy, in which she states emphatically that they have New Agers from the White House to teach near cool your kids in public schools? And on her book is none other than 666.
Really?
I think you need to open your eyes, Art. I've been dealing with you. I've been sending you.
Need to see sixes, in other words.
Excuse me?
I need to see more sixes.
Do you want to see some of this stuff? I'd be glad to send you. I've got tons of stuff.
Send it in the mail.
Okay. Well, you mean email, right?
Well, email or snail mail, as you wish.
And listen, I myself have discovered a place in Georgia where there will be human sacrifices carried out.
No kidding. Hey, listen, there's one thing to add to all this that you didn't mention, and I don't know how you could have possibly omitted it.
Yeah, what's that?
Ronald Wilson Reagan.
No.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Six.
Are you saying like 666 himself?
Six. I mean, look, Ronald, R-O-N-A-L-D, six.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N, six. Reagan, six. Check it out, sir. Think about it.
Art, please, don't toy with me. Okay, take me serious.
No, thank you. I will take you as seriously as you take me. You know, some people see triple sixes everywhere. End of the world. Apocalypse. One world government. The end of all. And where they find their sixes, it's cool. Where I might find my sixes, which I don't really, I just got told that so many times I happen to remember it, then I'm toying with him. Hey, 666 is 666. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Mr. Bell. Patrick here up in Salt Lake City.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, I heard you talking earlier this evening about Hale Bob.
Yes.
And I work at the planetarium here. That you might want to know that you can see it in the evening now as well.
I understand that beginning now, low on the horizon, it is visible in the evening. How does it look?
Well, it's certainly a lot better in the morning sky. It's a lot darker then, and it's certainly higher in the sky, about maybe 20 degrees in the morning versus about 6 degrees in the evening.
When will that substantially change? In other words, when will it get fairly high in the evening sky after dark?
Well, each day now, in the evening it'll be getting higher, in the morning it's getting lower. So the morning has sort of reached its peak, and now it's going to start to go down. Still
mm-hmm.
getting brighter, of course,
mm-hmm.
but in the evening it'll be getting higher and higher until just, you know, by happy coincidence, about the time when it's supposed to be at its brightest towards the end of the month, that's when it'll be highest in the northwestern sky.
Well, give me your best guess. How much better do you think it will get? It's already doggone good.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I was taking pictures of it tonight that we're going to be using in the planetarium show, if I might give them a plug there.
Sure.
That it's already got a very beautiful double tail on it, very easy to see. Now, this, of course, is for people out in the country. Last year with Yucatán, we had a problem with people seeing it from in the city and going, that's it. And of course, it was.
Well,
very...
look, I'm out in the country and I saw it.
Yeah.
Even I said, that's it. this is much brighter than high
oh,
hockey.
Yeah. Definitely brighter. And as a matter of fact, on the Hale-Bopp homepage, I just noticed 2 days ago, they're talking about the possibility of a -1 magnitude, which, putting in lay terms, means basically that could be among the three brightest comets of all time.
All time. I bet you it's going to be the brightest in our lifetimes.
Well, so far, of course, we had West in 75. It was a bit brighter than this one is now, but this one's gaining so rapidly.
So rapidly. I'm really trying to encourage people to lose a little bit of sleep, get up and take a look. It's worth losing the sleep over.
It is now, but, of course, we're hoping that towards the end of the month, don't worry about losing sleep. Just get off work a little early, head out into the desert, head up into the mountains or whatever. You've got to get away from the city. All of the Comet Watch parties, for example, we're doing here during the Sirius time is going to be out of the city. Check with your local astronomy club or possibly planetarium. Find out where these things are going, because they are happening all over the world, literally. I'm seeing news of you, but you just have to look at your local institution to find out where
they're going. All right. Well, to spike it all, I'm going to have Alan Hale on Friday night.
I'll be listening.
All right, my friend. Thank you. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Aloha from Volcano, Hawaii.
Volcano, Hawaii. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You're talking about Lo'ihi.
Lo'ihi.
Yeah. The vowels in Hawaiian are exactly as in Spanish, I-E-U-A-O.
Lo'ihi.
So Hilo would be H-I-L-O. It wouldn't be Hilo, Hilo.
Lo'ihi. Oh, that's Lo'ihi. Cool. All right, so that's going to be the new Hawaiian island when it breaks water.
Right. Lo'ihi means long and narrow, and that's the shape of it.
Huh.
The water there, I'm going to be off by a few feet, but I'm not a scientist. The water there is about 11,000 feet deep, and it is about 3,000 feet below the surface of the Earth. So it's a pretty big, below the surface of the ocean.
So it's got a couple of weeks to go yet before...
Well, the guesses are 150 to 100,000 years.
Oh, really?
The shortest I've ever heard is 10,000 years.
Hmm.
On the other hand...
Either way, you might not even be a state then.
That's true, too. We might not even be a country.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're only 200 plus a little years old. We're very
right.
young. Very young.
Right. Mm-hmm. The thing about the island, though, is when it broaches the surface, it's going to turn the seawater into hydraulic acid, which is going to kill everything on this island.
Oh. That's not good.
No, so let's hope that it's 100,000 years away.
Okie dokie. Lo'ihi.
Okay, but those strange things on the bottom?
The fish with four legs. Now, what's that all
about? We've seen videos up here. We saw maybe the preview of what you'll see. And there's some stuff down there that is really scary looking, and it's living right in that hot water, like 160 degrees or something.
Right.
And it's the same sort of life forms they're finding on the black smokers in the ocean and, on the volcanic on the East Atlantic Ridge. And that's some strange life form.
And where is it you are?
Well, I'm in Volcano.
Which is where?
The island itself is about 20 miles off the coast of the Big Island, so it'd be about 40 air miles from where I am.
Now, I don't think that I've seen you on a map. I'm going to have to look you up. So, in other words, your island is named Volcano.
No, we're on the Big Island.
You're on the Big Island, but you said you're 20 miles from it.
Well, yeah, but that's the city of Volcano.
Oh, I see. All right, I've got you now.
It's about 20 miles offshore, and we're about 20 miles from the ocean, so it's 40 miles away.
Doesn't it all make you nervous living in a town named Volcano? I assume there is a reason for that name.
No, because our type of volcanoes they're not explosive like in Dante's Peak or in the Philippines or in a few places. It's a very benign volcano. You can stand there and watch it flow. Not always, but usually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate the information, and if anything crawls ashore, or maybe I ought to say walks ashore, call me right away.
Oh, I'll call you right away, Art. Yeah.
All right. Take care. Lo'ihi. That will be the new Hawaiian island one day. But there's a lot of volcanic action going on under there. And it apparently is spawning some pretty weird creatures. And I know you think this sounds like my usual stuff, and it is. But they've got photographs of four-legged fish down near this new island. And they've got video, so we'll see. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't expect to get through it all.
Well, then why were you pulling?
In hopes to get through.
All right.
Miracles do happen.
Yes.
My name's James. Calling from Port Huron, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Above Detroit. Okay, a couple things. First of all,
first-time callers call area 702-727-1222. Well, it has to do just with the Truckers Network.
I see. Well, see, I am a truck driver.
Oh, you're a trucker. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. We've got more truckers listening here than any Truckers Network has listening.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised. I do enjoy your show. Sometimes I'm asleep when it comes on because of my schedule. But I do enjoy it when I can listen to it. What I was calling about is, in regards to truck driving, is that there seems to be some spots, like I drive all around the U.S. and drive up into Canada, up into Ontario and Quebec. There seems to be some spots in the States where, like, for lack of a better phrasing for it, time seems to pass a bit faster.
Really?
In terms of, like, you'll be driving from point A to point B, and it seems like you get there quicker, and literally the same song will be on the radio, and you'll have covered a distance of 20 or 30 miles.
Give me an example.
Okay, there's a spot out on Interstate 94 here. It runs for, there's pretty much nothing on it, and it'll be, this stretch runs about 35 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll pass this one point, and the song will be on the radio, and then before you know it, you're 15, 20, 25 miles down the road, and the same song is on the radio.
Well, it may not be that you're actually going faster, but maybe you're missing time.
Missing time.
Has that occurred to you?
That thought has. And with our company, I've talked to other drivers about it, and they say, they've experienced the same thing, and there's certain spots in the U.S. where this seems to happen. I've heard about spots out in
There's one other thing you might want to worry about, and that is that during that time that's gone, you were asleep.
No. No. I don't want to entertain that. Believe me, I'm conscious of the song on the radio.
Yes.
But I don't know. And then some people say it was highway hypnosis.
Well, maybe it's like an OBE. Maybe you're paralyzed, and then you're leaving your body, which somehow manages to keep driving straight down the road. I don't know how.
Well, that'd be interesting. I could just send it out to drive my truck, and I could stay home.
No, sir. but if you want to consider the case for cloning, then we might be talking.
Oh, there you go.
You clone yourself. You send them out. In fact, three or four of yourselves, three or four trucks, and we're talking big money here.
Oh, yes.
All right, I got to run.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to break here at the top of the hour. You're listening to the CBZ Radio Network American Style.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Call Art Bell toll-free west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
That it is. Top of the morning, everybody. It is great to be here. Open lines all night long. Anything you want to talk about is absolutely fair game. Anything. Aloha, Art, the proper pronunciation of our new island here in the islands, is Loihi. That's as close as I can get anyway. And he says, is it true that your wife is from Eva Beach, Hawaii? Kevin, yes. Kevin in Honolulu, it is true. Born in Eva Beach, indeed. And I understand that I have many relatives in Eva Beach. And one of these days, we're going to go to Hawaii, and I'm going to meet the family. And I understand that takes a lot of doing, according to my wife. All right, Thursday night, Friday morning, Ed Dames and Kathy Kramer are going to be on the program. Friday night, Saturday morning, mark it down now, Alan Hale, co-discoverer of the Comet Hale Bop, is going to be here. And if you have not yet seen Hale Bop, I implore you, wake up about an hour to an hour and a half before sunrise, go out and look to the east on a clear night, and then a little bit to the north and 30 or 40 degrees above the horizon, and there will be one of the most spectacular things you are ever going to see in your whole life. It is that good. You don't want to miss it. It's there now. Every morning, pick a clear morning and go take a look. You may not ever see another comet that bright. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Mr. Bell.
Ah, yes.
I have listened to you for years, never been able to get through before. And I have three quick things that I'd like to say to you. One is, anyone who says that time travel is impossible is moronic, as they speak it and one hears it, and we all travel in time.
Any absolute like that is kind of moronic because inevitably it goes wrong.
Two would be, drugs are not the problem in this country, they are the symptom of the problem, and I guess you can just speculate on, you know.
Okay, what is the problem? What do you think? If drugs are a symptom, in other words, people are taking them...
To escape the reality of living here. And just the other day, what a handful of teenagers took some muscle relaxers that was on the news, and, you know, they ended up going to the hospital and stuff.
Is it that bad? Yeah, in other words, is it that bad out here? That so many people are turning to drugs. That's kind of a commentary on the state of society or civilization.
Well, apparently it is, because there are so many people using drugs that we have to fight this big war on drugs that ruin people's lives on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing, that this has really, really bothered me, is that it's infinitely easier for me to believe that aliens gave us religion to guide us and possibly more than to believe in God as men in the Bible. And
really,
as an added bonus, how easy is it to conquer a world that believes that seeing angels, holographic projections maybe, to make Christians kill non-Christians, thus leaving only faithful slaves? Pretty cunning plan. I can believe that, and I can believe in aliens a lot more than I can believe in the concept of a God as in the Bible. And
All right. Well,
that makes sense to me.
That's clear. All right, thank you. I don't agree with you. I think there is substantial reason to believe in the God of the Bible. I don't think that I necessarily believe every word in the Bible is absolutely as was originally said, that it was recorded totally faithfully. I don't believe that. But I believe there is substantial reason to believe in the God of the Bible. As much reason, or more than there is, to believe that a flying saucer crashed at Roswell. I don't dismiss either possibility, and I am suspicious of people who do. There is good reason to believe of the God of the Bible. Good reason. Documentation, records, lots of them. More, frankly, than we have to substantiate an alien crash at Roswell. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hi.
My name's Doug. Calling
Hi.
From Gladstone, Oregon.
Hi, Doug.
And first time calling, and you're going to hear this first from me, but this has to do with cloning.
Okay.
If man can clone animals, why can't God clone himself, thus confirming the virgin birth and the Godhead?
How do you know he didn't? It's as good a theory as any.
Right. I think he possibly did.
In the image of, right?
Pardon? Right.
So I have no argument with that. It's it's a good theory.
I think, I was just thinking of this. It's possible. Some people don't believe in the virgin birth and whatever and says it's not possible. This does prove that it could be possible.
You know that. That is correct. Thank you very much for the call. It certainly would explain a virgin or an apparent virgin birth, wouldn't it? Cloning. Think about that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, yes. You said that one time you saw a triangular ship?
Yes.
There's a man called in, and he said that he's called the government procurement office and wanted to know what contracts they had on space vehicles that he could invest in. And they gave him a list. And this list, they had Lockheed Aurora, which is 100 feet long and 65 feet wide.
It was actually on the list?
Yeah.
Pretty dumb.
A triangle.
Well, now, they don't admit the Aurora even exists.
Oh,
so how in the world could you invest in it?
Yeah, an Ariane Dyne airship is the triangular ship. It's 330 feet wide and 470 feet long.
Uh-huh.
They have another one called the Alien Reproduction Vehicle, which is the ARB Fluxliner, and that's...
Well, wait a minute. Where are you getting this?
This guy called in. His name is Mark McCandlish.
Oh, from Mark McCandlish. All right, thank you. Yes, we've had Mark on as a guest. But I have never seen a list that would allow you, I talked to Mark about this, as a matter of fact, that would allow you to invest in the Aurora. I've heard this from Mark and from others, but I have never heard the government admit anywhere that the Aurora even exists. So I would very much like to see that paper. It may exist. It may. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hey, that song on the radio, that guy in North Dakota, I-94, and listening to, it's probably that Peter Frampton song. It goes on for like 10 or 15 minutes. That's probably where 15, 20 miles went. And also, since you got so many truckers out there, you could have a trucker's cell phone line. It's really hard to get through sitting here hitting.
I know. But if you've got a good redial, you can sit there punching that like everybody else.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose. But anyway, I listen to that song. So. Sorry, I explained it.
Thank you very much. A very long song. There was a trucker who called and said that there are some parts of the country where, as a trucker, he feels he moves through these very quickly, covering many miles, and documented by talking about a song on the radio. And it was kind of weird, but... You know, you never know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. How you doing?
All right.
This is Steve in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
I was wanting to ask you, or give you a joke about the cloning of sheep.
Is it a queen joke?
Yes, indeed. Made for everyone.
I'm listening.
This guy, a friend of mine, told me after he heard about it, couldn't get to sleep the night before. He kept counting. Sheep, one.
Yeah, the same one again and again and again. Dolly. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there. Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Great to speak to you. This is Tom.
Yes, Tom.
In Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I could take you back a little bit more than a year ago, or possibly more than that.
Going back.
You remember the discussion about people who had seen geographic shapes? Several people who were calling in, and also I think some of your
guests
talked about that.
Yes, I do recall. Uh-huh.
Possibly they were having UFO visits, that sort of thing. I was remembering this brought it back to me when I was...
No, these were not said to be crafts. These were, for example, Daniel Brinkley and Gordon Michael Scallion and others who saw geometric shapes.
Right.
Yes, but it had nothing to do with UFOs.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was very young, 5 or 8 or 9 years old maybe, I remember just going to sleep and having these visions in my eyes of these shapes.
Yes.
And this really brought it all back to me. And I wondered, I'd like to hear some more people talk about that, have some more people call
in. Have more input, huh? All right. Well, yes, it was Daniel Brinkley and Gordon Michael Scallion, and it wasn't geographic, but geometric shapes they saw. And this was during a time of wakefulness, certainly for Gordon Michael Scallion, not dreaming. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
This is Mark from Illinois on SATCOM.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Fine.
The gentleman that called in about the basketball-sized rock in the swimming pool, that's about the size of the rock that hit Winslow, Arizona. So,
in other words, his swimming pool. Well, of course, when he got to the business about trading it for the Tickle Me Elmo doll, it was obvious that he was, you know, had rocks in other places than his pool.
Right. I got a few things for you. What size is your binoculars? I was curious.
I think they're. I think they're 8x40. I'd have to go look.
I got some 12x80s, and you're talking about some field of view.
Right.
Okay, here's my comment. I'd like to officially go on record as challenging Alan Hill and Brian Marsden, in fact, that Hill Buff was named before.
Well, you can call and challenge him Friday morning when he's on. Saturday morning, actually.
Where was your information that Hill Bop has never come through before? I've been looking. I can't find it.
Well, they argue about that. In other words, the argument was that Hill Bop began to outgas too early, that when a comet comes through or has been by many times, a lot of the loosest material quickly burns away very early. And this was the case with Hale Bopp when it was way out beyond the orbit of Venus. It was already bright as can be, outgassing like crazy, without an apparent sufficient amount of energy from the sun that far out to be causing that. And that would indicate a lot of very, very loose material on the comet.
Now, you read that they went back to 93 and found Hale Bopp and some plates, photo plates. And that would put it at least at 12 AUs out back in 93. And if you look at
the
model
this.
For comets, that's too far out to see a comet.
Yeah, I've heard this. And
now, that's pretty incredible.
I agree with you, and I will ask Alan Hale about that, and I hope you will call in like crazy when he's on.
I hope so, sir.
All right, thank you. The caller is correct that there are many who believe that Hale Bopp was found on plates dating way back. Now, that doesn't mean it was discovered. It means that after the recent discovery of Hale Bopp, I believe, they then went back and looked at old plates and found it. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ron from Bremerton, Washington.
Hello, Ron.
I wanted to tell you about, I think it was in July of 1995. I was awake in our apartment. My wife was in front of me. The TV was on. And in the next moment, all of a sudden, I'm not sure if it was out of the body or what, I found myself standing in the driveway of my father's house in California.
Wow.
And up in the sky was, from my point of view, there was, I could see at least 6-7 dozen UFOs that were hovering. There were also small balls of light zipping around, all around me and up in the air.
What program were you watching at the time?
I don't really have any idea. It wasn't anything to do with this. This is something that came just totally out of the blue. And but when this happened, there was a feeling, emotions and all of just, like people have talked about with the near-death experiences, of just togetherness and oneness, and, you know, complete love. And it also, all of a sudden, flashed to my mind and everything that this was a memory. You know, it was like, how could I have forgotten this? This was, you know, something, I don't know.
Well, you might want to contact somebody about regressive hypnotherapy and see if you can nail it down.
Well, that's something I was thinking about, but that costs money, and I'm not a rich man.
Well, it does, but, you know, it's a pretty interesting case, so you might contact people, you know, like the guests that I have on Dreamland. Some of them do that kind of work pro bono. And do a little regressive hypnotherapy and see if you can dredge out what really occurred. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
This is James from Central California.
Hi.
I have a couple of questions for you, actually, and a statement.
All right.
You said that the Chupacabra was in the Southern California?
It has been reported there, yes.
Okay. Whereabouts? Because I actually work in the hills.
No, in the hills.
Well, that makes it to be possibly where I am. Okay, and the other, well, it's actually a statement.
Yes.
I've been listening for maybe almost a year.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I've heard a lot of things, and I've been a skeptic for quite a while, actually. And just recently have I been actually getting my eyes open. And I came across something that I read a while back. And it said, for every man who has a rational explanation for a mystery, he is completely void of all understanding. And that would be just about it. That would
Say it again. For every man who has a rational explanation for what?
For a mystery.
Yes.
He is void of completely of all understanding. And that would be like with Mel's Hole. Anything is possible nowadays.
Oh, I'm a great believer in that. A great believer in that. You bet. Thank you. I've learned over the years. I have learned from people who call in and say things that seem absolutely incredible and unbelievable and over the edge and all the rest of it. And I have learned to listen and not to scoff, because whenever I do, I get in trouble, and inevitably people call and say, guess what? That caller was dead right, and you laughed at him. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, it's Michael in Lake Elsinore.
Hi.
Hi. The statistics that were released today in regards to the rise in drug use.
It has doubled for our young people.
Those statistics were released, I believe, by the agency for stopping the use of drugs in America, one of your sponsors. I forget what their name is.
Not my sponsor.
Well, I guess I'm one of your stations.
That could be. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, that organization, one of its major contributors is the tobacco industry, and that just kind of seems peculiar to me.
The stats were with regard to marijuana.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes, but the organization that pulled the stats is...
Yeah, okay, I've already got you. I've got a question for you, sir.
Sure, yes.
And I'll let you consider it during the break if you can hold on, and that is not so much arguing about the increase in drug use, but the why of it. Why people are driven today more than ever to use drugs. Think about that, and we'll be right back to you. This is ZDC.
This is TRN and CBC,
Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
This is Art Bell, host of Coast to Coast AM. We focus on on-screen callers and interview people covering areas most talk shows wouldn't touch with a 40-foot pole. So if you're ready for something very out of the ordinary, well then be here for Coast to Coast AM with me, Art Bell. It's the hottest show of its kind on radio. It examines two areas of human experience at the edge. Two questions that demand the third. Is there life after death? And are we alone in the universe? I'm Art Bell. The program is Dreamland. Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Good morning. I'll tell you what, you better grab a pen or a pencil. Because our Alaska cruise, I am told, is already beginning to sell out. The special price offered for the cruise I'm about to tell you about is going to go up in mid-March. That is the middle of this month, and that is very soon. Today is March 5th already. Yikes. See, pick up that word, yikes. Look, August 23rd, we are going on the vacation of a lifetime. We are going on the wildest Alaskan tour you've ever been on. And I would like to invite you to come along. But you cannot wait. These things happen so quickly. It's the way it works, I guess, in the cruise business. I don't know. Anyway, third week in August, specifically, August 23rd, we all meet in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I would like to urge you to arrive a little bit earlier because Vancouver is a beautiful city. There we board a brand new princess ship, the Dawn Princess. Do you like that name? And by the way, they're going to be filming a television episode, I'll tell you more about that, on this cruise, I'm told. At any rate, we'll board the Dawn Princess and sail through the famed Inside Passage to Ketchikan, Juneau, historic Skagway. Then we sail straight up to the face of the towering ice fields in Glacier Bay National Park and the majestic College Fjord. Now, most Alaska cruises do that. I mean, it is spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. I'm really looking forward to this because, you know, almost everywhere we're stopping, it's a big cruise. I'm on the air, and so, you know, I'll be meeting people. It'd be fun. Anyway, it doesn't stop there. You see, when the ship gets to Seward, Alaska, then we all head into Anchorage and board the Princess Cruises luxurious Ultra Dome rail cars. And somebody in Alaska will call us and tell us about these. They really are special. And travel on the Alaska Railroad to Denali National Park. Then we continue on by rail through some of the most amazing, amazing country you have ever seen in your life to Fairbanks, way up north. Take a look at the map and you'll see where Fairbanks is. Now, they will send you a full-color, beautiful brochure on this trip, but you must call immediately. You must call, let me say it again,
immediately, because obviously by the time you get the brochure and the middle of the month comes and the price goes up, we'll still be booking after that, but the price is going to go up, and it may book out. It's booking very quickly. I talked to him a few hours ago, to Paul Niskanen. So take down the number I'm going to give you now and call it in the morning without fail at 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. If you are east of the Rockies, call 1-800-633-2732. That's 1-800-633-2732. If you're west of the Rockies, 1-800-848-7120. That's 1-800-848-7120. Everything is paid for. The hotels, the rail cars, the cruise, the whole schmear, all put together. So call in the morning and get the brochure on the way, or it'll be too late. Back to my caller on the wild card line. You're back on the air.
How you do? And I think it's a really complex thing, and I don't think we really give it the credit or the credence that it deserves, because it's involved in a whole lot of years of people getting to this point of desperation to be needing to use something. But
it is a great and a very important subject. I mean, something in our modern society is driving people to escape.
I think it's a number of things that have just been layered on top. I'm about your age, and I think that coming from that kind of leisure, semi-leisurely, whatever, middle-class life, baby boomer-ness, there was a lot of reference to the future then. I mean, people talked about their kids going to college and whatever, and people went to church and whatever they did. But it just seems like today there's just about enough time to exist and not a whole lot of inspiration to or any reason to get too concerned about the future when you're just preoccupied trying to get through the day.
All right, I think you've raised a really, really good topic, and I think we should all talk about it a little bit. And I'm going to say this. For a long time, I've lamented the fact that we don't seem to have a national goal. When I was young, President Kennedy was talking about going to the moon. In a decade, we'll go to the moon, he said, and he set our goal. What are our goals now? Can you tell me what our goals are beyond getting to Friday and the weekend? What are our national goals? They are undefined. We are drifting. And I see that as a significant problem. But that is insufficient, I think, to explain this drastic drug increase among young people. They want to escape. So it's more than that, but that's part of it. Maybe a loss of innocence. That's, I think, another part of it. Discontinuity of the family might be another part of it. I'm not really sure, but there is something that is adding up to a very great need to escape from whatever reality presently exists. You tell me. It is an interesting topic. Hello, Art, from Montgomery, Alabama. The top five reasons computers must be female. Five. No one but their creator understands their internal logic. Four. Even your smallest mistakes are immediately committed to memory for future reference. Three. The native language used to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. Two. The message, bad command or file name, is about as informative as, if you don't know why I'm mad at you, then I'm certainly not going to tell you. You know, I would like to know why women do that. The faxer is dead right. If you don't know why I'm mad at you, I'm certainly not going to tell you. Why are you mad, honey? And that's the kind of answer you get. Well, if you don't know why, then I'm not going to tell you. And then number one, As soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. Well, that is the poison of computers, of course, when you get one. Then you need this and you need that, and it's a never-ending cycle, and I suppose there is a pretty good parallel to the female species there as well. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about amateur radio.
Okay.
I was wondering what you thought about 6 meters.
I think that right now, with the sunspot cycle at a low, 6 meters is not too interesting. When we begin to get a lot of sporadic E, skip what's called sporadic E, then you'll get 6 meter openings, a lot of them, and it begins to get very interesting. Otherwise, it is, for the most part, a local band.
That's what I heard. I really want to get into 6 meters because I heard it's interesting when it opens up.
It is. It's fun. But, you know, you've got to be a patient person. It's like cutting a hole in the ice and waiting for a fish to jump through it.
Yeah, I heard really good stories about when it opens up, but, and I've got one more question for you. About
sure.
These calls that you can get, like the calls where amateurs are dead, you can get their calls.
Yes.
I don't understand this, because say you're in Wisconsin, like I'm in Wisconsin, so my call's at 9PIR, and say I get a call sign with, like, number 6, how do you tell, like, where you are in the country then?
Well, it's a good question. The FCC used to require that when hams, you know, the U.S. is divided up into call letter, used to be anyway, divided up into call letter zones, really still is. But then the Federal Communications Commission, because of an overload of paperwork, decided that now this is getting ridiculous. Everybody's moving. We're having to issue new licenses. Too much trouble. So everybody keeps their call letters. So now you have people who you would identify, for example, from the American South as a 4, who live in California and keep their 4 call letters. So it's all very confusing, but basically it boils down to the commission didn't have the money to keep doing that stuff, so they said, that's it, you get your call and you keep your call. The new year is here, and how many of you have made a promise to make more money and better your life? When you think about the future, do you see the economy getting better or worse? With a small investment of your time, you can create security for yourself by learning to trade in the commodities markets. Some financial pundits have just about made commodities a dirty word. However, if you learn the ins and outs of how to do it and how to approach it with the right attitude, commodities can pay off big time. Ken Roberts, a nationally renowned financial educator and multimillionaire investor, has taught tens of thousands of people how to invest in commodities and manage your own money without depending on a broker for advice. There's a step-by-step process. First, you learn how to invest with a no-risk approach by trading paper. Then, when you're ready, you start using real money. Call 1-888-GOLD-KRC. That's 888-465-3572. Ken will send you a free audio cassette titled Real People, Real Money, and a 40-page report that explains everything. The call and information is free. Call 888-GOLD-KRC, 888-465-3572. I think originally books on tape were designed for the sightless. However, they're also designed for the modern, busy American person like yourself. Books on tape are dramatic. They're not just read deadpan. They're very, very entertaining to listen to. And you've got today's bestsellers all over the place. Tom Clancy's Spy Classics, Stephen King's Hellish Nightmares, and just a few that turn me on, like, for example, in their current catalog, Star Trek, First Contact, Rod Serling's Night Gallery. How about the X-Files Companion Volume 1? It just gets better and better, and here's the offer. Call Columbia House right now, and they will send you 4 of today's bestsellers, like the ones I just talked about, for one penny. One penny. And then your only obligation is to buy 4 more at regular club prices over the next 2 years. piece of cake, because there are so many good books. Call them now. One penny, I said. Call 1-800-325-6921. That's 1-800-325-6921. Some pretty intriguing titles, huh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Art?
Yes?
Hi, this is Brian from Birmingham.
Hi.
Hi, well, listen, I'm a trained biologist, and I was pondering the question of cloning the other day. And it occurred to me that if you wanted to produce, like if you're a male, and you're aware that there's 23 pairs of chromosomes in the human genome, that if you wanted to create a female version of yourself, all you would need to do is to copy over the X chromosome again, get rid of the Y one, and you'd have to put that in an egg cell and germinate it. And
well, you know what? I thought the same thing, and I had an expert on cloning the other morning.
I'm not from
Loyola University, a genetics professor.
Yeah, I heard him.
Hold on now.
Sorry.
I asked him about that, and he said it's not that simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I can accept that then.
I'm afraid you have to.
That's the way life is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you. In other words, it's just not a matter of changing those few little switches, you know, to create an opposite sex version of yourself, which is kind of disgusting anyway to think about. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Tim in Denver.
Hi, Tim.
I've got an amusing little story for you.
Amuse me.
Saturday night at our meeting, while we were gathering just before the meeting, we had about probably a 5-to-1 mix of club members to actual patrons of the bookstore. And someone in the club kind of said loudly to some of the other members, does anyone have any information on Mel's hole? And about 10 people turned and looked at him like he was out of his mind, who had no idea what he was talking about.
I see.
So, anyway, I wanted to call and salute you on your decision to have Mr. Alan Hale on your show.
Yep.
I think that's going to be great. Looking forward to it, sir.
Well, we had quite a conversation, Jim. And look, this comet is too big and too important to let petty differences get in the way of a important discussion about it. I mean, this is going to be the most amazing sight that most people in the world have seen in their lifetimes.
Well, we're putting together a party to go out on an early morning here in the next couple of weeks and view it. So I agree with you. I think it's very important.
It is very important. Thank you very much. You have never seen anything like it. I dragged my wife out at about 4:30 in the morning, and she doesn't much like cold weather. It gets pretty cold here in the desert, you know, early morning hours. And she said, holy smokes. Actually, a derivative of that that I can't say on the air when she saw it. I mean, it is that impressive. Take the time, set your alarm clock, get up. Before you go to bed, go outside and look. Be sure you got a clear sky. And get up about an hour before sunrise and go look at this comet. Ooh, it's something. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm Jan from Agora, and I just had a question about...
From where?
Pardon me?
Where are you?
Agora Hills, California.
All right.
My question is, I wondered if any of your listeners had ever seen or recorded seeing anything that they thought was a UFO that was two parallel rows of lights that didn't move and there was no noise. Up in the sky, oh, maybe a quarter mile away.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I did about 20 years ago.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll ask the audience 20 years ago. That's a long time. I generally don't take UFO reports unless they're current. Now, obviously, if you're seeing something currently in the sky, we want to get the news on the air and get as many people as possible outside trying to confirm what's going on. But as a general rule, we don't take UFO reports from the far distant past. west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Huh?
Art Bell, the Italian Stallion.
Hello.
Hey, I wanted to explain what's the big problem in our country. And I want to commend you on how you defended the Bible. That was your Holy Spirit really coming out of you.
No, look, it is
I've
not.
I've never heard you.
No,
like
no,
that,
it is. Well, nobody ever asked me that way. The fact of the matter is, there is probably more documentation for the God of the Bible than there is for the concept that a alien craft.
Yeah, that guy was real angry, but I really respect you for that. But the biggest problem, you know what the biggest disease in America is?
What?
That is godlessness, and a few other reasons is because our children, they see this $6 trillion deficit, and
debt.
The kids are smart nowadays. They see that our great-great-grandparents and everybody have lived really good, and now we've left this big burden on these kids, and they have to pay all this money back.
Right.
And America's really in a bad state right now. We don't realize it.
Well, there is that. Thank you. As a matter of fact, our children are going to be cursing us, and their children. I mean, we're doing all kinds of things that we're not quite thinking through clearly. Have you ever read the implications of storage of high-level nuclear materials, which they plan to store somewhere near me here at Yucca Mountain? We have very short lifespans, 70, 80 years, if we're lucky. Some, a very few, longer, not much. That's about it. But we are proposing to store poisonous materials that will have to stay stored and safe for tens of thousands of years. Tens of thousands of years. Can you imagine that? I can barely imagine that these materials will have to stay safe from geologic disruption and trouble for tens of thousands of years. That, my friend, is quite an undertaking and somewhat egotistical. I know they show us containers that will hold this high-level nuclear stuff, and they drop them out of cars and out of airplanes and so forth and so on. Tens of thousands of years. Boy, a lot can happen in that kind of time. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Yes, about Mel's Hole.
Yes.
And I'm going over to turn off my radio. Mel's Hole, the reason that all the stuff probably disappeared is when they pulled their string back up, they found it was soaked for the vast majority of its length.
Well, actually, no, that is totally incorrect. Mel dropped a package of lifesavers thousands of feet into the hole, retrieved them, and lifesavers, of course, if they were to encounter water,
right,
would melt. And the lifesavers came up perfectly dry.
He dropped a package of lifesavers into the hole.
Well, attached to a, yeah.
Yeah, like could he take them out and put them on the end of the string?
You've got it.
Well, back in early 1950s, my father owned a farm in Wisconsin, and he ran 7 miles of baling twine down a hole and pulled it back out, and about 6 miles and 900 feet of it were soaking wet. There was an underground river that was sucking the string down as fast as they could put it in.
Sure, sure. I could see how that would happen. But no, Mel had that base covered.
I would like to have seen photographic proof of that claim.
We all would like photographic.
Now, how deep did he say this?
I want more than that. I want to go up there and gaze into Mel's hole.
How much string did he say he dropped on this hole?
80,000 feet of monofilament line.
12 miles or 14 miles?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
I can't believe he found a hole that deep.
That's some kind of hole. Well, there's nothing natural about it, of course. That is why Mel's Hole was such a big story and an interesting story. And if I ever find out where Mel's Hole is, I will go up there and try and take a look myself. Wouldn't you? This is the American CBC Radio Network.
to Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Call Art Bell toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It is. Good morning. And this comes under the category of Here We Go Again. Good morning, Art. Wow. Guess what? I fly for the above company, and he gives the name of the company. It's not important. I fly for the above company and just got in from Seattle. When I got my approach clearance, the tower informed me of a 10-degree magnetic heading deviation. When I lined up on final, here it was. I was landing on runway 321, which I was approaching on magnetic heading of 30 degrees. I adjusted as per tower instructions, and there was indeed a 10-degree shift. What's going on? Thought you'd be interested to hear this. All right, that'll set it off for sure. We have observed on this program no less than about four times a magnetic sudden deviation. 10 degrees is a big deviation. So anybody else out there with a compass would do well to go check her out this morning. Ooh, 10 degrees. Interesting. Thank you, Mark. That is from Spokane. So anybody with a good compass out there might take a reading and see what you see. Is it going on again? Well, as you know, there has been a recent strong rumor generated upon the internet that I died, that I was dead. They wrote my obit on the internet. Really quite well done, actually. And so I've been answering questions, trying to correct this rumor that I am dead, with actually very little success, despite the apparent fact that I'm here on the air. Isn't that amazing? That's how hard it is to kill rumors. Now we've got another one. Apparently on a radio program earlier tonight, some guest somewhere said that I had been invited to join the Trilateral Commission. Now, I would like to know who it is that said this. I mean, they came right out as a guest on a radio show, I think it was in Las Vegas, I'm not sure, and said that I had been invited or was a member of the Trilateral Commission. They stated this as fact. And I would like to know where people get this stuff. Now, my only way of fighting back, generally, has been to admit it. Yeah, I'm a member, so what? What's it to you? And I belong to the Illuminati, too. And a lot of other organizations that have symbols like skull and crossbones. All kinds of stuff like that. Secret ceremonies every weekend. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello? Going once, going twice, gone east of the Rockies. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm down in Austin, Texas. I'm doing my radio.
Okay, get that radio. Turn it off right
okay.
In. Yes, sir.
I have been fascinated and intrigued by the most recent Chupacabra.
Well, it may be there in your town.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, we've got a
I've spoken with you before about
got
it.
A photograph of this
yeah.
supposed Chupacabra on my website now.
Yeah, I just got a printout of that.
And?
I am truly fascinated. And whoever looked at this, I guess a herpetologist from the San Antonio Zoo looked at it and claimed that it was several reptiles put together.
Yeah.
Whoever's looking for that, I asked your callers to look at it and see if anybody can get that from this picture. And I'm sure that...
I don't see it.
I'm sure that the gentleman that... the reporter that went down and filmed this, I'm sure he would have noticed stitching marks somewhere or something obvious, you know.
Yeah, there was no word of that.
But I got on the phone with the Texas Parks and Wildlife today.
Yes.
And I basically said, hypothetically speaking, if I trapped one of these things, would you guys be the ones interested in it? And
what
he said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, that's... We would probably come ask any questions, undoubtedly.
Really?
I went on with my story, and I basically told him about the report out of San Antonio, and obviously he was stupefied, hadn't heard anything about it, which is, you know, to be left up to your own judgment, I guess.
Well, it's been all over the media, so I don't know how he could have missed it. Not just my program, but, I mean, down in San Antonio.
Well, so far, this is the funny thing. This thing supposedly came to Austin. Mm-hmm. I've been tapping doors everywhere in town, and nobody has heard anything about it.
You're kidding. You mean, like, you go up and... yes, ma'am. Have you seen a chupacabra?
You'd be surprised the people that I've brought this up to.
I bet I wouldn't be surprised if you got a lot of doors slammed in your face.
not literally going door to door. I'm just
talking
about it in general. I tried to think of where this thing might have gone. And
well, look, keep on the story. It may be in Austin. It may not be in Austin. But if it is, I have confidence you will find it.
One more thing real quick before
yes.
I let you go.
Yes.
I got a chance to see Hale Bopp in the sky just with the naked eye. I just wanted to help pump this thing to you, to the rest of your listeners. If you haven't seen this thing, I've never seen anything like it in the sky.
Hey, listen, one thing for you. If you found out I was a member of the Trilateral Commission, would
yeah.
you still love me?
I'm a member myself, so...
Oh, all right.
And I don't think we're allowed to love each other.
All right, brother.
About that.
All right, brother. I got to go.
Okay.
See you later. That was metaphoric, you twit. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, this is Carl. I'm calling from Kodiak, Alaska.
Oh, Kodiak Island, Alaska. All right. Welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks. I just want to say, you know, you can see that comet. It wasn't snowing tonight, but last Friday night I was out, and it was pretty clear, and boy, it just really stuck out like a sore thumb.
What I have heard is that in Alaska, you can see it at that latitude traversing nearly the entire sky at night. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's real low on the horizon, but you can see it going the whole way across, so yeah, it's real nice. What I wanted to say... I heard a comment a little while ago about what are the nation's, what's our goals, what's our national agenda, and there was a Richard Nixon in his last book, Beyond Peace, he kind of talked about that. You know, we've fought all the wars are to fight now, you know, we've established peace, now what's our mission beyond peace, and he kind of alluded to the fact that we need to work on our nation within and make it a shining example to the rest of the world.
Well, I'm not sure we're done with wars. As a matter of fact, that's what we need is another good war. Who do you think it would be reasonable to go to declare war against?
Well,
I mean, let's come up with
a good thing, but you know, probably
the hottest area in the world, probably Middle East, with Israel and Palestine and all that. So
I don't think we want to declare war on Israel. And the Israelis are already at war with the Palestinians, more or less. But there ought to be some country out there that we could declare war against. You hate to see all this military hardware just sitting around rusting. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art.
Yes.
Ken from Stittsville, Ohio.
Hi, Ken.
How you doing?
All right.
One, get your thoughts on the Howard Stern movie.
Well, how can I give you my thoughts? I can tell you I've seen the trailers.
Uh-huh.
And it looks stupid. I mean, if that's the best they can do is have Howard Stern standing there getting hit by a Frisbee in the face, they're in trouble. The movie better be better than that.
Right.
Or he's in trouble.
Well, when are we coming out with an Art Bell movie?
Never.
Never?
Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Huh? Probably never. I don't want to be in a movie.
Stick to radio.
Thanks. I've seen the trailers of the Stern movie, and I don't think that I would have picked that scene to advertise Private Parts. I mean, that's all I've seen is Stern standing there, and someone throws a Frisbee, and he doesn't raise his arms to try to do anything, and it hits him in the face. And that is supposed to be a riotous trailer to entice one to go see the movie. Okay. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Cool, I can't believe it.
You're here.
Yeah.
Where are you, actually?
Jacksonville, Florida. I don't want to tell you my name.
Jacksonville, Florida, and you don't want to tell me your name?
No, but I do want to stress...
There must be a name that all your life you wanted to have secretly. How about using that?
Okay.
What do we call you?
Oh, it doesn't matter. My name is not important.
Well, it is, too.
Okay. Okay, you can have my name.
All right.
My real name is Nancy.
Nancy. That's a good name. All right. What's on your mind, Nancy?
Well, I have an implant, and I wanted to stress the importance of to Whit, your guest on the previous show, Whitley
Strieber.
Thank you. But he ought to keep his.
Well, he's thinking about having it removed. Where is yours?
It's in my head.
In your head?
Yes.
And what does it seem to do?
Well, it's not doing anything right now.
I'm sorry?
It's been there for 20 years.
Okay. How old are you now? Roughly.
30-something.
All right. So for 20 years. So you got it as a teen.
Yeah. Hmm. And I was telepathically connected with these beings.
Ah.
And I went and met them and saw several different ships. I'm very nervous talking about this, but I would like to see.
I can understand, sure. And so you went and met them and saw ships?
Yes, and at one point I was taken aboard, and I was not abducted. I went voluntarily.
Really?
Yes.
Should we ask what happened?
Well, I didn't recall immediately what had happened. It was quite some time later that I realized what had actually happened and that I do have an implant. But after that particular encounter, and there were other witnesses, and there is tangible evidence still here other than my implant.
Like what?
A homing device that I was looking for, and then this other family found it. And I thought I was looking for a triangle. And I thought I flubbed my mission because someone else found it on the other side of the river. And it became the mysterious death ball.
Well, now you're starting to lose me a little bit. I think you're skipping through too much of the story or something.
There's too much information, and really...
You're an abductee is what it comes down to.
Well, I don't feel like I'm an abductee.
Oh, excuse me, a volunteer.
Well, not a volunteer either. I just had my radio on. I answered the call, and I went, and they came. And the first two times I saw a sighting, I logically said, oh, those are shooting stars. When they were in touch with me telepathically, I was very comfortable.
Well, there's the reason for our war right there. They're messing with our teenage girls. She's 30-something. She's had it for 20 years. They obviously enticed her away. I won't say abducted, because she said she sort of volunteered. So there's a good reason for a war. They're messing with our teenage girls, taking our teen girls. Let's get out the tanks. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Going once, going twice, gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Arbell?
Yes?
I heard you mention the Aurora tonight.
Yes.
And you say our government says we don't have one?
Well, they don't admit it.
Well, my son worked on that, and I also have a book right here of Canadian Forces CP-140 Aurora. And it's 9 by 13, and it has 30-some pages of all the things in it. You believe that?
Well, I mean, I believe you have it. Now,
yeah.
Who can know if it's genuine?
My son. But it says here it was printed by Lockheed. Lockheed California Company, a division of Lockheed Aircraft Corporation, Burbank, California.
That's the one, all right.
Okay, now, he said that guy you had on there didn't know what he was talking about, that person that you mentioned tonight.
Mark?
I don't remember.
Mark McCandlish?
Yeah, McCandlish.
All right. Didn't know what he was talking about.
He didn't know what he was talking about.
Okay. But your son does.
The aircraft doesn't go that fast.
Does your son want to be a guest and tell us all about it?
He can't.
Mark, why not?
Because he has a government job.
I see. But, well, then you as his mother might be getting him in trouble.
Not necessarily. But I'll make you a copy of this book and send it to you.
By all means, please do, and we'll get it up. You know us. We'll make it public.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Right. Heck yeah. If you've got information on the Aurora, send it along. Anybody with a photograph of the Aurora, send it along. We'll put it up there. You know us. We'll do anything. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Yes, I heard that you were a member of the Carlatto Commission.
That's the news, yeah.
Yes, I heard that last night on another talk radio.
I began to get word of that today, that some guest had come on some talk show and said that Art Bell sold out, I believe, right?
That's what I heard.
And is a member of the Trilateral Commission, and what else?
That's basically what I heard. My question is, are you a member?
What do you think?
Well, I just heard you say that you were, so I guess that you are. Am I right?
What I said was that rather than constantly denying it, I simply have decided to begin to admit it. I'm a member.
Okay.
And
well,
and it's people like you that are going to end up being slaves, and I'm going to be an officer in the New World Order. I mean, they've made me that promise.
Well, can I make a statement?
And you're going to be a slave.
Can I make a statement?
I suppose, if it's short.
Okay. All I want to say is you're going to find out that you're going to be losing more of your freedom. You're not a free man again.
Not me. Not me. I'm part of the Trilateral Commission. I'm taking freedom, sir. I'll get more freedom.
You've the New World Order.
No, it's you that will be losing your freedom.
You're going to find out. Just hear me out.
You're the one that's going to be losing your freedom.
They're going to tell you what to do, and they're doing it right now.
Nah.
You're not sincere on the air anymore.
All
the other American people see it right now.
I'm going to be part of
the New World Order.
Yes, I'm going to be part of the ruling class. Thank you. Oh, my God. We'll be right back. This is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
We'll be right back.
Art Bell is taking calls on the Wildcard Line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Well, here we go again. Here's a fax from Tom in Lancaster, California. Art, I heard the radio program you're talking about with respect to the Trilateral Commission. The show was last night, 3-4-97 on KXNT Las Vegas, on the Lou Efton Show. And it was stated as fact, heard directly from your mouth by Lou's guest, a female whose name I cannot remember. However, she claims to be an investigative reporter, formerly with Media Bypass, and now with a Huntington Beach-based magazine called Investigative Reporter. The implication was that you could no longer be trusted, that you were overjoyed at receiving the invitation, and that you would immediately accept, or have accepted, and are now an agent of the New World Order and the One World Government. 73's Tom Lancaster. And I sold out. How much do you think I got? How much do you think they paid me to join? I mean, you've got to imagine I'm becoming a fairly big media force here, and we all know the Trilateral Commission doesn't mess with the little guys. They only come to the big media outlets, right? And I believe, you know, if you look at the chart, I think Peter Jennings is a member, isn't he? Tom Brokaw may be the only non-member of a big network. So, I mean, what is your guess out there? Did they pay me $1,000? Was I cheap? Did I sell out cheap? Did I get $25,000? $50,000? $100,000? Well, I'm on, let's see, 332 affiliates now. I ought to be worth quite a bit of money. Five reasons to declare war on Canada, Art. One, well, they plan to invade us, and they can't afford to. So we'd win a country, we'd go into debt rebuilding. Two, they're close, so it would be an affordable war. Three, no bugs to deal with. You fight in the winter. Four, we could get France to help out, too. Their economy needs a war as badly as we do. And five, more room plus energy to utilize for HARP. That's Mike and his five good reasons to declare war on Canada. We need a good war. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is Hobner in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Way up north.
Yep. That was a good thing you had on about the kids getting messed over because of the economy and the prices of cars being so high.
I didn't say anything about the price of cars.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's one of the things that's...
However, I will say, cars are damn expensive these days. I mean, you go out and buy a car today, and it's the price of a house when I was younger.
That's right. That's what I was getting ready to say, yeah.
Not only that, but they're mostly plastic.
That's right. And they also, like, I had a 77 Chevy van. Got 15 to 18 miles a gallon.
Yeah.
It didn't have a computer in it.
Right.
But the new ones only get 15 to 18 miles a gallon.
And they've got computers.
And they've got computers.
And they cost $30,000 and $40,000.
That's right. And like the, what do you call it? The brakes. Anti-lock brakes. They're saying that they don't work either.
Well, it's no wonder kids are doing drugs, sir. I appreciate your call. We were actually discussing what it is that's the new stat out this morning is that. Double the number of young people are using marijuana as were a few years ago. And we were wondering out loud why people are turning to drugs. I believe the stats. I'm sure they're true. But why is there an increased need for escapism? That's a pretty good question, huh? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is Bob from BC.
Hi, Bob. BC Bob.
Right on. Hey, you know this number 666?
Yes.
It need not always be taken pejoratively.
I know.
I think a lot of Christians and people know that. Because
well, what really bothered me about the caller was he had two examples of 666, right?
Yeah.
And then I gave him one, and he didn't like it. Like, his numbers are cool, and my numbers are trash.
Yeah, well, if he got his from the Bible, which generally I think that's where it started, there's also in 2 Chronicles 9:13, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon.
No, we don't allow scripture quoting, so you can, if you wish, you can certainly paraphrase it.
Okay, well, with 603 talents of gold.
Uh-huh.
That's 666.
Right.
And, you know, see, as far as the beast himself, on the forehead could be the mark or his name or the number of his name. The 666 is a symbolic numerical representation of his name.
Tell me something.
Seth.
If you went, if you got up in the morning, went in to brush your teeth, and went to comb your hair,
yeah,
and noticed a kind of a weird thing there in your scalp, and you parted your hair a little bit, and there it was, 3 6s.
Well,
what would you do?
Well, I'd find a way of erasing it.
Would you?
I wouldn't really need. See, you're not supposed to mark up your body, you know.
No, I meant if you found this and you had not had a tattoo or anything like that. I mean, it just was there.
Well, the mark basically is more of a, I would say, more of a symbolic thing, where it's written in the heart rather than written physically on the forehead, because.
Well, I'll tell you, you are a cool customer.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir, for the call. Have a good morning. How about the rest of you? Brush your teeth. Look down a little bit if you're brushing your teeth. And, oh, what is that? It's a little, looks like an ink. What is it? So you part your hair. And, 3 6s. There they are. What would you do? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Is 707 a new area code?
No, I don't think so. It's been around for a little while.
Okay, it won't let me dial that one. Anyway, I'm Ben from Arizona, but I'm calling from Ohio, another truck driver.
Well, I call area code 707 all the time. That's where the Sea Crane Company is in Fortuna, California.
Okay, well, it won't work for me.
Well, how can that be?
I don't know.
Are you dialing a 1 first?
Yes, sir. that's not what I called about. May I have your fax number?
Sure. It's area code 707.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
I'm just kidding. Area code 702-727-8499.
And
do not send more than 3 pages, or they will not print out, and I'll never see them.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. I have seen some crazy stuff out there and had weird feelings, but not like that other driver talked about. In my whole life, I've seen 2 UFOs. One was in San Diego, and the other, many of them, was in New Mexico. And, but what I called about is the cloning business.
Yes. Hey,
that cloning has been around for a while. A friend of mine is in jail over his clone. He made a clone.
He did?
Yes.
Of himself?
Of himself. But the personality of the clone took his bad side. And the language was just terrible, cursing all the time.
This is working up to a very, very old joke about pushing a clone down the steps, an obscene clone. Don't tell me that joke, and don't anybody send it to me anymore. I've got 1,000 copies of it.
Okay, Art, I'm sorry about that. I enjoy your show, and I'm going to send you some info. I ran into an organization over 25 years ago.
Yes.
I thought they were full of baloney. They said that their leader came from a spaceship. And I joined and found that out about 6 months later. What got me was the telepathy and mind reading and all of this stuff is what got me involved in the organization. But when they came out with that thing about him coming from some other planet, sort of left them. But nowadays, it may be true. And I'll send you some information on that.
Well, I used to be able to comment on this kind of stuff, but now that I'm a member of the CFR, Trilateral Commission, and I let it slip, the CFR, too. I just can't comment on this kind of stuff anymore, but I appreciate the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. This is Barbara from Everett.
Everett, Washington?
Yeah, Everett, Washington.
Okay. Turn your radio off up there.
I've got the television on.
Turn the TV off.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Stereo? Any other noise-making devices? Turn them off.
That's all I got on.
All right.
Yeah, about that comet?
The comet, Hale-Bopp.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you think it'll hit Earth?
Do I think it'll hit Earth?
Yes.
Probably.
Oh, boy. What time? I mean, what date?
April 1st.
April 1st. Mm-hmm. 2 days from my girl's birthday.
No, dear, it's not going to hit Earth. Its closest approach will be 123 million miles away.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
So not to worry. That's substantially further away than our sun. So the comet is way out there. Nevertheless, it's going to put on quite a show. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Felix in San Antonio.
Hello, Felix.
Hi. I had just gotten back from vacation from Germany and was hearing the reports on your program about the Chupacabra.
Yes.
And I just a couple of days ago, I didn't know whether that was true or...
Well, it is true that a television station there in San Antonio got video of what is said or might be a chupacabra. I got that video, got my hot little paws upon it, and took a still photograph from it and put it up on the website. So that much is true. Whether or not it really is a chupacabra, who knows?
Oh, wow.
But so go take a look at the photograph and tell me what you think.
Okay.
And since you're in the San Antonio area, watch your tail end.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to tell you about an experience I had.
With a chupacabra?
Oh, no. I don't know what it was, but I'm a regular jogger. And we have a big park in the back of our house that comes right up to our back fence. And as I was jogging along, off in the distance, I could see what looked like deer. And that's actually what it was, two deer lying dead with both of their legs missing in front, both
Ooh.
Of them.
Oh, that's bad.
And yeah, I never ran the next mile so fast in my life.
I'll bet. All right, well, you watch yourself down there, because there have been some fairly impressive recent reports in the San Antonio area, that, of course, being Whitley Strieber's home. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, the other night you had on some rules for cats.
Oh, rules for cats.
Yeah, yes. Can you read those on the air for me?
Well, I read them the other night.
But my girlfriend didn't get to hear them, and she would love that, and she's listening now. Could you please?
I'll see what I can do. I can't make any absolute promises here, but...
Okay, well, she'd like to go back to sleep as soon as she can, so if you do decide to do it, I'd
appreciate it. Well, it probably won't be that soon, so okay. I'll sort of let you know ahead of time, and you can record it or something, if I can find them.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks.
Thank you. See, I get so much stuff like that, so many goodies, that it's literally impossible to keep them all. Rules for cats. That was a pretty good one. Somebody should resend that one to me, I suppose, because I don't immediately see it. All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jeff from New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
I had a couple of things I just wanted to ask you.
By the way, have you noticed that your New Orleans affiliate, WSMB it is?
Yes, sir.
Has added A, the last hour of the program, and B, Dreamland.
I was going to, that's what I was calling about.
Uh-huh.
One of the things.
Do the wild thing. It's 702-727-1295.
I do the best.
All right, you just put touch tones on the line, sir, and I can't allow that.
That was a mistake. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Just don't let it happen again.
Yes, sir. I was wondering what might be the best time to view the comet these days and where.
About an hour to an hour and a half before your local sunrise.
Okay.
Go out and look east. And then look north just a little bit and look up about 20 or 30 degrees in the sky,
uh-huh.
And there she'll be, bright and fuzzy, and that's the comet.
Bright and fuzzy, and I'll know it when I see it.
And if you've got binoculars or a little eyepiece of some kind, it will be startlingly clear.
Great.
Okay?
Great. Thank you, sir.
Enjoy it. It'll be the best comet of your lifetime, in all likelihood. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Would have been first-time caller line. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Who have I got a hold here?
Who are you calling?
I'm trying to call Art Bell.
Well, then you're really in luck.
Yes, sir. Art, thank you. This is Reagan from Spring Valley.
Yes, sir.
On the harp situation, when you have the gentleman on,
yes,
that was investigating that,
yes,
my question is, if we had a big volcano or an asteroid hit,
yes,
could we control the weather enough to wash out
the
dust
effects
and debris early enough before it caused global cooling?
I would have no idea.
It's just, you know, hey, maybe we could commandeer that thing and make it useful. And I've got a country that I think we could...
We need a good war, yeah.
Yeah, Antarctica. I think it's the only one we could...
We'd declare war on the Antarctica. Well, that would be like declaring war on the UN, because...
That'd be fine, too.
I understand. That's right. There are many, many countries. We could start a full world war that way. Now you're really talking.
Okay. And one other thing, I found out who is in control of our business cycles. He is a Chinaman. His name is Some Dumb Luck.
Some Dumb Luck, yeah. Is he related to Alan Greenspan?
Well, you know, with all this Chinese connections in Washington, you know.
Otherwise known as Says Some Dumb Stuff.
Yep.
Goodbye, sir.
Thank you, sir. I enjoy your show.
That's irrational exuberance. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Brian from Sacramento.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, I was listening, and I wonder sometimes, doesn't anybody recognize sarcasm when they hear it? Don't you dare deny you're not a member of the...
The answer is, a lot of people don't, my friend. They don't...
I've been listening to you for years,
and
I cannot believe that they cannot recognize sarcasm.
This is serious now. I mean, people are beginning to have guests, you know, on these conspiracy shows.
They figure you're dead still, too.
Well, if I'm not dead, then I'm a member of the Trilateral Commission.
Yeah, there's some disinformation going out on you, and no one can recognize it. Keep up the good work.
Take care. You've got to understand my sense of humor, and obviously a lot of people don't. I think it's a riot myself, and I feed it a little bit by simply not denying it. I mean, you know, why bother? Anybody who's going to call up and seriously ask that, I'm going to tell them, sure, you betcha. I'm going to be at the head of the line. When the New World Order is instituted, and by the way, it'll be overnight, I'll be right there, one of the officers. They promised me an armband and everything. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm not sure if I'm talking to Art or if I'm talking to his clone, but if it is a clone, you're doing an awfully good job of imitating him.
Well, that then underscores the success of cloning in America already.
That's right, right. Hey, I heard that report about you being a member of all those organizations, and like the last caller just said, he said it formally, I guess. Some people just don't recognize the sarcasm.
Well, they're just
when
not...
I hear it and don't understand the sense of humor.
That's right. And I guess they're looking for something to say, you know, something to scare people with. Art Bell is a member now of the One World Government. You can no longer trust anything he says. He's one of them.
Hey, I got a newsflash for you.
Yeah, what?
We have a chupacabra. My daughter has a pet chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
No, hers is a chupacabra.
Chupacabra?
Yeah, she has a kitten that she named Chupacabra. I called him Chupi for short. He doesn't look anything at all like the way the pictures were described. He's soft, fuzzy little critter, very affectionate. Does nibble a little bit, bite a little bit, but so far he hasn't started sucking blood.
Yeah, well, you watch them. You know, they suck the breast from babies in the middle of the night.
Well, we've got a pretty good-sized house full of cats, and all of them a bunch of good pets. You know, we're cat lovers also. definitely cat lovers.
Tail one world order, sir.
Good night, Art.
Good night. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Would have been. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Art. I have a couple of questions about cloning, but first of all, I think it's pretty obvious how much the Trilateral Commission paid you.
How much?
It's not very much money, but you couldn't resist the symbolic significance. $666,000.
Of course, sir. You've hit it right on the head.
I didn't get to hear Friday Night Show, unfortunately.
Actually, I framed the check.
I'm sure you would, yes. if one was to clone me, or I was to clone myself,
yeah.
Is my clone a baby or a fully grown adult, or what?
Oh, it's a baby.
Okay, so it has to grow up and learn
but,
and all
but
that.
Actually, you really want it that way, because depending, of course, on what you're going to use your clone for, you want good, fresh, absolutely fresh organs.
That's true.
In other words, as you grow older, you want your clone to be in early 20s, mid-20s, somewhere in there, so that if you need a liver or a heart or a lung or, you know, whatever it is you need, you get a good fresh one.
Now, with an intelligent clone, does it have my thoughts and my feelings or just my, you know, hereditary traits or what?
Well, I'm not sure about that part, but I guess we'll know soon the way things are going. Sir, I got to run.
Thanks, Art.
Right, thank you. From a member. We'll be right back. Here's a little song about the devil. Fits right in.
To Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, but he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play a pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." "The boy says, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been."
"Yes, it's me, it's me." "I'm the
girl, boy, and play a fiddle hard.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Call Art Bell toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Oh, this is too cool. I've got something that it says don't... Please don't read this over the air, so I won't put your name on the air. It comes from the state of Washington. So the rumor of my being in the Trilateral Commission has now, actually allegation has made it all the way to Washington. And I'm going to read it on the air anyway, but I won't give your name. Art, I have been informed that the source of the Trilateral allegation is Karen Lee Bixman. She is either a reporter for, or possibly editor of, a national newsletter called The Investigative Reporter. Supposedly, this comes from a cable splice document, whatever the hell that is, and is supposed to be linked to an authentic Pentagon debriefing and plan intended to destroy any organizing efforts of the growing American Patriot Movement. Apparently, Ms. Bixman has a government document referring to the planting of disinformation through the radio, and as I understand it, your name's mentioned in this government document. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Apparent source of the rumor. Or no, it's not a rumor, it's an allegation. She said, I am a member of it. God, I want to see this document. Get it to me and I'll put it on the internet. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
Hi, how about that?
How about?
This is Helen from Milwaukee.
Hello, Helen.
I just thought, my God, they must be scared to death of you.
I don't know. It's getting really weird out there, Helen.
Well,
I guess when you get well-known, no matter what, you know, this kind of stuff begins to happen. I don't know.
Well, you're a heck of a lot of fun, and I enjoy your program very much.
Well, I try to have fun in life, Helen. If you can't do that, what's the point?
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, dear. See you later. Yeah, if you can't have fun in life, what's the point? And, you know, I've got a serious side. You know I do. I do serious programs. But then again, sometimes it's better to have fun. More interesting to have fun. Apparently, Ms. Beeksman has no sense of humor. Oh, well. I really should feed this. First-time caller line, call us toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. Gone. Gone like the wind. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
California.
There she is. Good
hey,
morning.
Hey, old brother Mason.
Oh, Doug, Mason.
You forgot your One World Government line.
You got to remember, I'm a 99th degree Mason.
Yeah.
Right?
You're a real bad one. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know that guy that called up and said...
You know what I have in my wallet?
I'm scared.
I have a card with a...
Oh,
wait, wait now. Wait now. Now there's the whole thing. I have a card with a world. If it's got a picture of the world on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a special secret symbol over it.
Scary.
Yeah.
You know that guy that called up and said that he thinks the country is suffering from godlessness?
Yes.
I am suffering from godlessness. Do you know why?
Yes, you told us long ago.
No, you're wrong. It's because I am a goddess and I have no god to be my consort.
You did call during our on the special goddess line long ago, didn't you? You are a goddess. A lot of people in the audience think of you as a goddess.
Yes, well, and now they know that I'm suffering from godlessness. And you know why I'm suffering from godlessness?
This is one of the reasons that I haven't put your picture on the internet.
Why?
Because everybody has their own little image of you as a goddess, their goddess. Exactly.
Listen, now.
Listening.
I hate to, you know, I have taken a vow of celibacy between me and the universe until I find my soulmate. And that's why I am godless.
A vow of celibacy?
Yep, I even bought a twin bed.
Physical, physical celibacy.
Uh-huh. And emotional celibacy, I guess.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so...
That's serious news to try and digest this morning, along with my Trilateral Commission membership.
Huh. Well, you know, I'm sure that my soulmate is one of your listeners.
Well, that's entirely possible, yes.
Well, you know, how else am I going to explain to him that I call another man in the middle of the night? All the time. So he has to be one of your listeners, Dad. They would understand.
But which one?
I don't know. Hey, you know, how about that pistol-packing pagan that called last night? Remember him, the pistol instructor?
The pistol-packing pagan?
Yeah, after 3:30. He called up and he's a gun instructor.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yes.
I like that.
Really?
And he's a witch, too.
Yep.
I was like, wow.
In other words, that almost could be enough to possibly turn you away from your twin bed celibacy.
Well, there's a couple of other things that he has to pass by. You know, my soulmate's a very special man because I have two children. And so he has to take them into their heart, too. He gets like three for the price of one.
That's hard, isn't it?
It's very hard, but I keep positive because in this age of lots of divorce, I figure that there's a man out there with a child, too, and I would be more than willing to take another child into my house.
So you could merge as a family.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen.
Well, how?
Well, not so long as you have the double twin beds. And listen.
Well, I'm sorry.
It will happen. You will find the right person. That person is out there. I don't know how it will happen. I can't, you know, I'm not good enough to make those kinds of predictions. But
well, if you think you see him, you can show him my picture. Okay? Because I trust your judgment. But you picked a good
soulmate. I sure did. Thank you, dear. As a matter of fact, to demonstrate to you, and Ms. Bitchman, I hope you're listening, to demonstrate my newly found power as a member of the Trilateral Commission, the day before yesterday, I called the Las Vegas Sun, it's a very mainstream newspaper, and demanded that they run a big story on me. So if you doubt my power and you're in Las Vegas, check this morning's Sun newspaper. You'll see a demonstration of my power. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. I'm calling from Ched Country in Edmonton, Alberta.
That's C-H-E-D, indeed.
Yes, sir. How warm does it get out there in this time of year?
Well, what time of day? You ought to specify a time of day.
Oh, in the afternoon. 2.
Yeah, it might get up to 70.
No, that's not too bad.
That's plus 70 for you.
Oh, yeah. Plus 70 Fahrenheit. Well, yeah. In Fahrenheit temperature, we've taken a big dip. We're down to about minus 2 now. And
you're minus 2 Fahrenheit?
We had a beautiful February, but March has come in like a lamb. We'll see. We'll see if the saying holds true on the 31st.
Well, maybe we'll clone March, and you'll have March and April.
Well, I'd rather clone February. Anyhow,
do you like the very cold weather?
As a matter of fact, I don't mind it cold. I just hate it when it goes up and down and up and down. One day it's minus 30, next day it's minus 60, next day it's plus 2, and you find out your body can't figure out what temperature it is, and I get sick. I'd rather have it like minus 40 all winter.
Frankly, I have a hard time delineating between minus 30 and minus 60. Both of me are cold as hell.
Anyhow, you're talking about this cloning. I really think it's going to be bigger than the atom moral sense.
So do I.
We don't know how to handle it. Where governments are rushing to ban it.
President has had a lot to say on cloning in the last few days, mm-hmm. saying no government money and enjoining the private sector. Of course, we're a free country, right? He's asking the private sector not to clone. What has your government in Canada had to say on the subject? Surely something.
Well, I think they're trying to get legislation to ban it altogether for you.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to suggest the Canadians sound so much alike that it's probably been going on for years up there anyway.
Well, hey, I hate to tell you, you know, we had it a long time ago, and, you know, JC is probably well aware of this, but, you know, we've cloned several Canadians, and we've implanted them into the United States, into the infrastructure.
Yes.
And we're not coming. We're already there.
Canadian moles.
So, well, one thing you mentioned,
yes.
About cloning you could clone an individual without a brain for organ transplants. And I figure, well, I thought that would be a good idea, but
it would have to have a little bitty brain enough to keep the bodily functions going, right?
Well, sure enough, but
it's a little pea-sized brain.
If you could be that specific, why couldn't you clone a liver or heart?
Well, I asked that very question of my Loyola University professor the other night, and he said, indeed, one day it may be possible.
But here's a future ad, years 2002, the Art Bell Show. Absolutely fresh organs.
You got it.
Clone of your very own.
That's right.
Grown in our lab in southern Kentucky, stored fresh for you until you need a fresh organ of choice.
That's right.
For only $100,000 plus shipping to the hospital of your choice.
Next day.
Part of the price. Next day, yes. Federal Express.
All right.
Have a good day.
Livers on the road, yeah. Back now to open line, anything goes, and it really does, talk radio. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, this is Tim from Calgary, Alberta.
Calgary, Alberta. Another Canadian clone. How you doing?
Another Canadian clone, and proud to be it.
Yes, sir.
The one thing I want to talk to you about there, Art, is just wanted to let you know that you're extremely popular out here in the western part of Canada.
Well, thanks.
And I think when it comes to negotiation times, if you can get a QR-77 out here in Calgary to get them to carry the full 5 hours.
QR-77?
Yeah, out here in Calgary. We're affiliated with Chet up in Edmonton there.
And they call it QR-77?
Yeah.
Which means, which means it's 770 on the dial, right?
You betcha. And another thing, too, when you're on the web next time,
yes,
browse through Canada, and if you look through St. Paul, Alberta, you'll find that they have quite a history of cattle mutilations and UFO sightings and a lot of activity going on in that area of the world.
That's interesting. See, a lot of Americans think it's just sort of American mythology. But
right.
It's not. This is going on all over the world, including right there in Canada.
Well, I mean, I can give you a famous incident. We had a sighting one day in the city of Montreal, and there was over 400 people that saw it in downtown Montreal.
There you are.
And, hey, that cloning business, that's terrible.
Well,
let me tell you.
It may be. Right. Yeah, it may be. It may be terrible. We'll see.
And anyways, I just like your show. I think you're a cool guy.
Well, thank you. We're a little different than what you hear on a lot of Canadian radio, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, we get a lot of boring conservative stuff up here in Canada, and the odd time I like to throw your name at some of these talk show hosts out here, and it just rattles them up and they start squawking about it.
I know. Who cares? I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
See you later. Yeah, sure. There's a lot of talk show hosts squawking about me, and that's all right. Who cares? It's like they must not have much better to do, and the answer is really they don't. After they finish their hours of bashing the president or praising the president, they run out of things to talk about. So they talk about me, and that's all right, too. I have sort of learned not to let it bother me, and it for some time now it has not. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how's it going?
All right.
All right, I understand that the goddess is searching for a consort.
Well, that's what she said. Now, I'm no matchmaker.
I understand. Actually, I'm afraid that you're Austin affiliate.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm getting a lot of calls from Austin.
I know, it's been going through the roof. I'm really impressed. Actually, I'm not really searching myself, necessarily, but she sounded very tempting. I had to at least call and try.
She intentionally, I'm convinced, sounds that way.
Well, it's incredible. I hope she keeps calling, because, I don't know, just as a little something.
Do you know that some people have put ads in her local newspaper in her town trying to get in contact with her?
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So,
I know.
I tell you what, she's got that special something that is intriguing.
I know. You know how she got her name, or maybe you don't. We call her Tim.
Okay.
And one night I decided nobody on the air, you know, I like doing stuff nobody else does. So I asked my audience, count them up, how many of the Ten Commandments in your life have you broken? Right? I did a survey. And she was one of only two people who called up and said, all 10.
Wow. Well, I think anybody else is probably lying. Well, aside from the murder.
Thanks for the call.
That just struck me.
See you later. You know, lots of people from Austin. We must really be catching fire in Austin. But that's how she got her 10. A lot of people think it's, you know, something else. It's not. She claimed to have violated all 10 commandments. Now, you think about that a little bit. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. I want to say that you have some excellent guests of late. I really enjoyed it. The one person was a Jesuit priest.
Oh, yes.
Gave an excellent perspective. I think something that maybe we don't hear across the news. But in reference to cloning.
Yes.
I have an immediate use for cloning. Bone marrow. People need bone marrow all the time.
And absolutely.
If they get a clone.
Spinal fluid, they need that.
Absolutely. But I think what would happen is as soon as they cloned a person and the authorities found out about it, I think that clone would be protected by our Constitution. And so that would immediately be considered another person, and if that person died, they'd be tried for murder. You know, I think there was something that...
Well, that is when we would begin to establish legal precedents one way or the other, because that kind of thing would go straight up to the Supreme Court. And the question, of course, would be, is a clone a human being?
Right. Well, I'm a twin, an identical twin, so I sort of feel like a clone because I'm baby D.
Well, you are a clone. You are a clone.
Yeah, that's true. So I don't think I want to give up any parts of me for anyone else unless I choose to do so.
You are an identical twin?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Really identical in every single way?
Yeah, he's on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. And, you know, we have so many similarities. When we get together, my kids, when they were small, never wanted to let me go because they were afraid they might accidentally be left with my brother. And so it's kind of interesting. But one other thing, rules for cats.
Yes.
When you find that, you ought to just post that on the web. That'd be kind of interesting, and people could maybe send in stuff to add to it.
I'll see what I can do.
It might just be fun.
I get so many of these sorts of things that I just can't hold on to them all the time. You know, I read them, and then after I've trashed them for 2 days, I start getting a million messages, oh, please send me a copy of that.
I think it's because there's so many cat lovers and cat haters out there.
That's true. Thank you very much for the call. And my cat Comet, by the way, Comet Report, is doing so well. Comet now spends 80% of his time out with the rest of us, as opposed to being under the bed. It used to be the other way around. He would only come out when people went to sleep. Now, Comet comes out and is becoming a social cat. I mean, not completely social, mind you. He has yet to intentionally come up and rub up against me. But that day is coming. That day is coming. And I can pick him up and I can cuddle him. It's a really weird thing. I can pick Comet up and cuddle him. But he doesn't like sitting on laps. But boy, if you cuddle him, he'll start to purr. Ooh. Comet is my wild cat. And when I say wild, we're talking 10 on a scale of 10. This cat was, get me near a human and I'm going to bite him and scratch him and die if I have to stay, you know, that kind of wild. So that's a long way. We've come a long way. It's been about, what, 9 or 10 months? Breaking here at the bottom of the hour. I'm your trilateral guy at CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Art Bell is taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Here I am once again, Mr. Trilateral. You know what I've got? I've got plans. I've got the actual maps of where all the concentration camps are going to be located. You ought to see it. Looks like a rose garden or something. So many pins in the map. It's where we're going to take the uncooperative out there and retrain them. Or ensure they never see the light of day. They'll be delivered there by black helicopter and trained by those that will report directly to me and those like me. So there you are, Fixman. Take that and run with it. East of the Rockies, you are on the air.
Hi, Art Bell. This is Ed from Madison, Wisconsin, WTBY.
Hello, Ed.
I've been listening to you for a couple of years, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
But I want to take you to task on two things.
That's fine.
The first one is when you had Daniel Brinkley on your show.
Yes.
He was in support of alternative health care, and I think that meant things like diet and herbs and fasting and not absolutely fresh organs. So, you know, he got struck by lightning to figure that out. I'd hate to have you have the same thing happen to you. And the second thing was you used to only promote products that you tried yourself. Now, what about with Kaito Slim and Dr. Michael Toplinski's prostate formula? What's the story there?
In both cases, I have not claimed to try it myself because I don't need it. Now, I'm not going to take something to fix a prostate that it doesn't have a problem. And I'm not going to lose weight when I'm not overweight.
Okay, well, thanks for clearing that.
It should be clear because I say very clearly on the air if I'm using something.
Okay, I appreciate it. Take care.
Take care. See you later. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
King Arthur.
Nah, not a king.
The Magic Christian.
Yeah.
Calling you from San Buenaventura, the good trip.
Yes, sir.
Ventura by the sea. First of all, I want to correct a mistake that I made when I talked to you last night.
You made a mistake?
Oh, I don't know what came over me. I got the call letters of your local affiliate here in town, KVDN, where your friend Jerry works.
Uh-huh.
Right, but I gave the wrong dial location.
Well, that is unforgivable.
I said 1520, which is incorrect. You guys listening over there.
Couldn't be 1520. You know why it couldn't be 1520? Because KOMA in Oklahoma City is on 1520.
Okay. I'll accept that.
And so what are they on?
1450.
1450.
Right.
Okay.
You got a pencil handy, Art?
How could I do a show without having a pencil handy? Of course.
Okay, I just wanted to give you a little tidbit for yourself and those listeners that might want to check this.
What?
A Bible verse. Jeremiah 32:20.
All right, thank you very much. Mike, first time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art Bell, this is like playing Russian roulette with this redial.
You know, there was a story about a guy the other day, a true idiot, and this is a true story, who decided in an office lunch break room that he was going to be real macho and play Russian roulette in front of the other employees. I'm serious now. The idiot forgot to take out all the bullets but one.
I heard about that.
Blew his brains out.
He left all the bullets in, right?
Talk about dumb.
Oh, man. I was calling because I heard that chick on the air, the one that was the goddess.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think she was calling for me.
You felt that you were hearing your soulmate?
Yeah, I heard her before, and it's really like it was the first time I ever called you because...
I mean, you can
really
feel... Can you feel this in your soul?
Yeah.
Or do you think it might be more hormonal?
Well, I just think that we had some kind of click there.
Yeah, I know, but was it a hormonal click or a soul click? That's an important distinction.
Well, it was like I haven't been with a woman for quite a while.
So it could have been hormonal.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think so because I've been real careful. I've been, you know, really looking for a certain person. And I don't know.
Well, maybe this may be it then.
I can't find anybody else.
Well, that maybe you're the one. Okay.
How did I get in touch with her though?
I haven't the slightest idea. But you could run an ad. I forget where she calls from in her town in the newspaper.
Oh man.
Other people have done that.
I can't remember where she called from.
Seems like it's Redding. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
In California?
I think that might be right.
Because I'm in Hayward.
Are you?
Yeah, and I'm a biker. I could get there pretty fast.
Oh, you're a biker?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that enhances your case, but...
Well, it is, really, because I got a lot of biking blood in me and Scotch and German blood. I'm, you know, a pretty strong dude, you know, and just the thing a goddess chick would be looking for.
Viking on a bike.
Yeah.
All right, I've got it. Thank you. Good luck to you. I think it's Redding. I'm not certain. It's Redding. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, I'm out of Kansas City. My name is Steven.
Hi, Steve.
And I wanted to make a comment about the lady yesterday who took on the demons.
Oh, and wore them to a frazzle.
Yeah,
He needs to go into the adult film business.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I think there are more risks involved in terrestrial production of that sort than there would be in the astral plane.
That's true. And then the trucker tonight who said he's lost time and had the same song?
Yep.
He's probably listening to Alice's Restaurant Massacre or Inagata De Vita.
18 minutes, right, for Inagata De Vita?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thought. Thank you very much. They don't make long songs the way they used to. Remember Miss American Pie? That was another good one. During my years as a disc jockey, and I did have those years, see, there were a couple of good Beatle ones, too. There were some really long songs during which you could perform all sorts of things. West of the Rockies, you're on the air, huh?
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey. Baba Booey to you. Is that it? That's the only problem with Howard Stern fans. They're, their general lexicon doesn't go beyond buoy, and required to say more than that, they seem to get stuck. A wild card line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Good morning. I've got Carolyn Dixon's newsletter if you want to get her on your show. She's actually usually very informative and very very well versed in studies most of her subjects. I was surprised to see her name and her.
So I am in there, huh?
Yeah, I've got the January 97 newsletter.
And she says I'm a trilateral commission person.
She first reported November 96.
Really?
And again in January 97.
Well, now, see, right away I wonder about it. How well circulated could it be? Because I just found out about it today. I mean, well, now, yesterday. And she reported on it back in November?
Well, she's done a lot of work in California on the EPA smog Check 2 program out here,
yeah.
And that's where most of her work has been in California. But,
well, how does she get from that to Art Bell's in the Trilateral Commission?
Well, every month she comes out with new stuff, I guess that's what her topic was this time. But my real topic I want to talk to you about was the quickening.
Yes.
And I've only heard your show a few times mention it, and I'm not really familiar with it. And I just got the March issue of the New American, and they talk about an Archbishop Malingo who is an exorcist in the Vatican and how they will not let him practice in the church.
Why not?
Well, they say that, that the devil in the Catholic Church is so protected now that he is like an animal protected by the government.
I read that. I read that myself. So, I know what you're talking about. But you know what else it said? If you read further in the article, you will find that the Catholic Church is now desperately seeking the services of more exorcists because they believe that evil is on the increase all around the world. And I think they're probably dead on, don't you? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Cut the radio off.
Yep, cut that radio off.
This is Whispers of the Wind in Birmingham, WAPI 1070.
Yes, sir.
Glad we got you back on, what, in a year or so?
Not only did you get us back on, but on a far more powerful station.
Well, I had to search all over the nation to you a couple of years in.
Yeah.
Listen, I just want to let the perfect Ken know that I heard her soulmate call was a month or two ago. She said goodnight, and I heard it, and Whispers of Wind is here.
Whispers?
They never meet each other, but...
Wait a minute. Whispers with Wind?
Yeah, that's... I'm part Cherokee.
Uh-huh. And so you, too, feel you heard your soulmate?
I believe I heard it when she said it then, and that we were made in heaven.
Well, Whispers with Wind, are you sure that you didn't feel... rushes with hormones.
No, gods don't have hormones.
So you're a god.
I'm a son of God.
You're the son of God.
A son of God.
A son of God. A god or the god.
I think we all are.
So God is within it all. And so your godliness is in that sense.
Sure.
I got you. All right, Whispers with Wind, thank you very much for the call, and the dating service will continue. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
You. Turn your radio off.
Yeah,
Turn your radio
off. Okay, it's delayed on this radio. It's,
we know that.
Freaking me out.
That's why you have to turn it off.
Okay, what's up? This is my first time listening to your show. I was just calling. I'm in San Diego. I just moved out here, man.
How do you like it?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Where did you move from?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Why did you move from Cincinnati to San Diego?
For the weather. Definitely.
That's a good answer. First-time callers, area 702-727-1222. Call the wild card line. Area 702-727-1295.
Really?
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much for the call, and do not ever, ever call me again. Crazy people. Used to the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Hello, Steve.
How are you tonight?
Well, you're listening, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am. I went outside a little while ago and saw Hill Bob through my binoculars. And boy, it is really something else.
It's getting brighter and brighter and brighter.
Have you had your scope out to see it yet?
Yes.
It has quite a tail on it right now.
Yes, I actually think it's better observed with binoculars.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, yes, I do know why that is. The scope is rather narrow, and Hale Bopp is gigantic. And so it's actually too narrow to have the full experience. You want to see the whole corona, whatever it is, and the tail.
Mm-hmm. I have a pair of 16x70 Fujinons.
Uh-huh.
And you can get the whole comet and the whole field.
Right. Very impressive.
It's really, really nice. Say, I just wanted to let you know that I'm still working with Richard Hoagland.
I imagine that.
And we might have some data to release here soon.
Well, we're ready.
Okay, sir.
See you later. Little cryptic comments. We might have some data. First time caller in line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
This is a liberal in Colorado, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I was wondering if I could make a few comments on Ed Dean.
Sure.
Well, he predicted that the world's going to end starting with a plague of pathogens from Hill Bopp in Africa.
Well, that's not quite fair. He did not predict the world to end. He said about 80% of the population would be killed.
Well, okay.
I mean, let's be fair here.
Okay, bad news. But my take on it is that, and that these pathogens originated from some kind of alien presence or something like that.
Okay.
Isn't that right?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, Hale Bopp's only going to be, the closest it's going to be is like 123 million miles from Earth.
That is true.
And it seems that if somebody wants to, if aliens wanted to do it, all they'd have to do is land their spaceship on Earth. I mean, it'd be a lot more efficient. So.
Well, there might even be an easier way than that, the way things are going here on Earth. All they've got to do is wait.
Yeah, well, I kind of think that if people start dying off in Africa, that it's going to be because of a presence of maybe a secret government that wants to depopulate the Earth.
Well, now I do have some certain knowledge. Are you listening, Ms. Bixby, or whatever your name is? Bixman. Listen carefully here, Bixman. I do have knowledge about what you speak of, sir, but as you can imagine, in my position, I'm not able to discuss it with you.
Okay, well...
Or I'd have to kill you.
I just want to say that...
So it's not worth... it's not a knowledge worth your having. So anyway, go ahead, what else?
Well, I just want to tell you that, for a dead guy, you actually sound pretty good, and I still enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
See you later. Yeah, for a dead guy, huh? Well, that was part of it. See, that's something Bixman has no idea about. the whole thing that Art was dead, that was part of it. Part of it. I really can't discuss the details, but it all winds together. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Radio's off.
Good for you.
All right, this is Peerless from Spokane.
Peerless.
Yes.
Without peer. All right.
And I have some comments about the hole.
Mel's hole.
Yeah, it's only about, let's say, 150 miles away from me here.
Uh-huh.
And I know of two other gigantic holes like that right around here.
Do you know of them personally?
I've actually been inside one.
You went inside one?
Yes.
This is an apparent endless hole?
Well, actually, we've never found a bottom, and this one's full of water. And it's next to a lake.
Well,
and
what could,
the water level in the hole is
What could possibly have motivated you to go down?
Well, I wanted to go swimming.
In a hole?
Well, yeah, there's pop cans and things floating around in there, and I decided to pull them out. So.
That's disgusting.
Well, you know, I mean, the water's clean.
Well, if there's pop cans floating around in there, what else, you know, who knows what could be down in there?
That wasn't too great. But, anyway, we went down, and the water level's about 10 feet higher than the lake next to it.
Yeah.
Can't figure that out, because you'd think if they were connected, maybe, or something.
The water level would be even sure.
Yeah, yeah, but, anyway, and I'm sick of hearing these people call you and quote scripture and stuff. That just really gets on my nerves.
Well, I don't allow scripture quoted.
Well, I know that. I mean, I just, you know, if I wanted to listen to right-wing talk radio, I'd tune in the daytime. You know? That's just kind of...
Listen, mostly all day and all night, right or left wing.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know. It's kind of bothers me.
It bothers me, too, and that's why I don't do a lot of it. That's why I try and offer something a little different in the night.
Well, you're wonderful, Art, and thanks for your keeping me awake all night.
All right, my friend. Take care. And report immediately to the John Birch Society. All right, well, we're going to pause here. And again, if you want proof of my power and my recent trilateral association... Check out the Las Vegas Sun newspaper. I ordered them to print an article. You'll see it. This is CBC.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
That's exactly what it is. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. All right, somebody has sent me this Bixman business, and it is Fruitcake City, man. Absolute Fruitcake City. I'll tell you more about it. This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Serious Fruitcake City. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, good morning, North. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just fine. My name's Catherine. I'm calling from Rancho Cucamonga and listening to you on 1360 KCKC.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you I'm a remote encoder.
What is a remote encoder?
That's a person that works at the post office and puts the barcodes on your mail.
Oh, an assistant for the beast.
Anyway,
the barcode person.
Yes. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Really helps me get through with the night. And that's all I want to say.
Well, I appreciate your calling. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
See you later. Did you hear that? That sweet little deceptive voice that applies barcodes on a daily basis. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello, hello. Going once, twice, three times, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how you doing? This is Gene in Las Vegas.
All right.
Hey, did you ever hear Top of the Hour news?
No. Well, maybe not the same news you heard.
Right. Well, they said they, I'm here in Las Vegas. They said they can make a chicken have the sound of a quail.
Yeah.
Transporting,
yep. I already knew about that, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, anyway, listen, I want to ask you about one of your bumper songs.
Sure.
It's a woman who sings it, real classy song. One of the lyrics are, Sing Your Camel a Song. You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, you're talking about Maria Muldaur.
Oh, I got to write this down.
Yep, her name is Maria Muldaur, and you know what? She's going to be out in Boulder City.
Really?
Yep. I found out in the next few days sometime she's going to be out in Boulder City. Let's be absolutely certain we know what we're talking about here, all right? Here it is.
Midnight at the Oasis.
Could that be it?
That's it.
Uh-huh. That's Maria Muldaur.
What a classy tune.
Oh, man. She's a classy lady, too. Although every time someone says my name to her, she keeps saying, Art Bell, Where's my money? My money, you're playing my song. Where's my money?
Do you have the name of that?
It's called Midnight at the Oasis.
Great. Hey, one more thing. I sent you a tape of a band called Dead Can Dance. Did you get that?
Of a band called what?
Dead Can Dance.
Dead Can Dance. Yes, I did get it. Thank you. And I will listen. It's on my pile to listen.
Okay, well, then I guess that's it. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
And you will see the article, by the way, in the Sun newspaper.
Yeah, I live here, so I'll pick it up.
Pick it up. I commanded it be written, and just like that. Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
See you later. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello. Goodbye. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Art, how's it going?
It's going just fine.
Yeah, are you a Howard Stern fan, by the way?
Actually, a little bit. Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, are you going to go see his movie?
Not based on the trailer. What's the matter with those people? Now, you've seen what they're running on TV, right?
Yeah, man. Well, I find it some pretty good stuff.
I take it you're a Stern fan, right?
Yeah, fake.
All right. I saw the trailer the other night where he stands there getting hit by the frisbee.
Yeah.
They got to be able to do better than that.
Well, from what I heard, you know, it's a good quality movie, you know.
Well, then why don't they put a better quality enticement together? Do you agree?
Well, it's more for the type of people that, you know, basically like chicks, you know, babe, rock and roll, that kind of crap.
Yeah. So, in a lot of ways, I am. I mean, Howard's very funny. I've always maintained that if he would just cut out about like 1 or 2% of the very worst stuff he does, he'd be on a lot more stations.
Well, I mean...
Because, I mean, he's got a sincerely funny sense of humor. I mean, the guy is a good comedian.
Well, he also has, you know, a lot of good points. I mean, standing up for like our, you know, our First Amendment, you know, even though he gets in trouble, you know, for it a lot.
He defines the First Amendment.
Nah.
Yes, he does. He defines it. He is the First Amendment. He's right at the line, testing it all the time.
Mm. I'd have to disagree with you there.
Really?
Yep.
Who's farther out than Howard Stern?
Maybe you come in as a close second, but...
Not even close. Come on, give me a break. No one's ever disrobed in my studio.
are you really a member of the Trilateral Commission?
What do you think? Ms. Bitchman says I am. You think I am?
I don't know. You might be.
I might be. I really might be. What do you think that would mean if I was?
Well, I still love your show.
Goodbye.
All right.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, yeah, this is Bill from Lake Arrowhead, California.
Hello, Bill.
Is this our Bill show?
Yes.
Am I on the air?
Probably.
Okay, I'm calling about the new show on TLC. It's called Future Fantastic.
I have heard of that somewhere.
You guys were talking about the chicken that's crossed with the quail brain.
That's right, yes. And so the chicken makes sounds like a quail.
Right, well, these guys were talking about cyborgs being humans having computer brains and cyborgs having human brains crossed on there. You understand that?
No. But that's all right.
Okay. This isn't on the air?
Yes, it is on the air.
Okay.
You asked me if I understood cyborgs having human brains having cyborgs. No,
well, they were talking about that on the show.
Well, I didn't see the show, so...
I just wanted to tell you that, and maybe you could check out the show sometime.
All right.
All righty.
Sorry. Just a little cross. One little tiny genetic... First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Chris from Templeton, California.
Hi, Chris.
God, I'm so excited. One thing that I have always been wondering, no one ever brings up nutrition when they're on your show.
Really?
Well,
I like quarter pounders.
No, you don't.
I do, too.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm so
sad. Love quarter pounders. I have been hooked on quarter pounders for years. Without cheese.
Well, I'm sad for you.
But a lot of times when I go and I order, they put cheese on. That really makes me crazy.
Why?
I will drive back 8 miles and demand to see the manager. And I don't settle for the cheese being scraped off either.
Well, why is that?
Because there's always a remnant there.
Well, I don't know. I think nutrition and bad nutrition is at the heart of every problem that's going on right now.
Really?
Wait, earlier you talked about call in if you have a suggestion why drug problems have increased.
Why people are turning to drugs, yes. And you think it is nutrition.
Well, I just think that people are getting depressed because they're not getting the proper nutrients.
Well, what should they be getting that they're not?
Well, in the old days, people used to garden and... they used to get outside and get their hands in the soil.
We have a garden here.
And
we have our own garden. We grow our own veggies here.
Good for you. Are you depressed?
I beg your pardon?
Are you depressed?
Some days.
I'm talking about people who are really depressed, and they're turning towards drugs to find the answer, because there's so much missing from their lives.
We grow mostly artichokes here. I love
artichokes. Oh, so I love artichokes.
Grow artichokes.
That's great.
Okay?
Yeah.
And quarter pounders.
And not quarter pounders. Mm-hmm. You have to stay away from those. And I'm not even a vegetarian. I think that,
There is something unique about a McDonald's quarter pounder. Nothing else tastes like it. I mean, there are other good hamburgers, and I'm a connoisseur of hamburgers. But there is a specific quarter pounder taste that I have never, nobody has ever matched it.
That's amazing. I might have to try one just because you said that.
See? Give it a shot.
It's been years since I've had one.
Well, indulge yourself.
Well, why?
Life is short.
Oh, I know.
Eat quarter pounders.
I know. I love you, Art.
Thanks.
Bye.
I'll see you later. We do grow Art and jokes out here. They grow like crazy. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art Bell.
Hello.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. First off, that hour with JC that you had a couple of weeks ago.
Ah, yes.
That had got to have been the funniest hour of your show that I've ever heard. And second, about cloning.
Yeah.
I say let them go. I say go ahead and let them clone. I look at it this way.
Really? Suppose the concept was to clone JC. A JC in every town. Two or three JCs.
Well, like, I look at it, it's just a photocopy, but no personality. It would have to be a different personality. They just built the same. Think of it like automobiles, right? They stamp them out. They all look the same, but they don't drive the same, huh? You get a lemon every now and again.
You do. And we were talking about that Sunday on Dreamland, how the human mind can affect complex mechanisms and random number generators and that sort of thing.
I'm thinking, yeah, that. But here's a couple points of view.
In other words, treat your car well, talk nicely to it, send it good vibes. It will not break down as much.
No, it won't. Not at all.
That's true.
A couple of things. About cloning?
Yes.
I say, like, again, let them go ahead. Because I look at it this way. It's like, do you have children just so you can harvest them? One. And what if your parents said, that's why we had you? So we can harvest organs from you.
Make you want to run away from home.
Makes you think twice about, it's like, so what if there's somebody that's built just like you? It's somebody else, you know?
Well, when you get old enough to read and you crank out your birth certificate and your name is Harvest, you know you're in trouble.
that'll be it. But, that's a couple of ways to think about it, you know?
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, all right, good night.
See you later. Harry Harvest, east of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Morning, Art. How are you there?
I'm okay.
That's good. Hey, I had a question for you. I was talking about cloning. I was thinking about that book, 12th Planet by Zachariah Sitchin.
Sitchin, yes. Where are you, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Devin in Fremont,
okay.
Nebraska.
Fremont, Alaska?
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
My brother's in Alaska. I'm in Nebraska.
Okay.
Do you know, is he still alive? Is he written? I know he's written some other books.
Sitchin?
Yeah.
Sure he's alive. I interviewed him about 4 months ago.
Well, that's my second question, if he had been on your show or not.
Several times.
Okay, and I'm sure those are available on the tape.
They are.
Okay. I guess that's all I had.
All right, you call. I'll give you the number and ask for the Zachariah Sitchin programs, okay? Take care. If you want to get a copy of a program we have done in the past, the number is 1-800-917-4278. And to get a special discount price, say, Hail One World Order when you call. Just kidding. The number is 1-800-917-4278. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art, from freezing North Dakota.
Is it really cold?
It's cold, about 16 to 20 degrees below zero, and as we speak, I'm looking at Hellbop.
Yeah.
But the problem in North Dakota, you were saying, I'm driving east on Highway 15. Problem in North Dakota, you were saying, look to the east and then kind of off to the north and up.
Yes.
North Dakota, you got to look to the south.
Really?
Yes, I'm driving due dead east. And I couldn't see it. I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm thinking, Art Bell is an idiot. There is no Hellbop out there. I couldn't see it because of my rearview mirror, and as I made a southerly turn and then went on Highway 15, I looked, and dead straight in front of me, there it was. So now as I turn back to the east, it's off to the south about 20 degrees up. And it's just a bright, fuzzy little light in the sky. And
but I'm telling you, I know my directions from where I am, and for me...
I understand, but we're so much further north. See, the sun, the sun comes up probably directly. If you're driving east on one of your roads, the sun right now is probably coming up directly in your eyes, correct?
Well, if I were driving... Well, the sun isn't coming up at all yet.
I understand that, but if you were driving and the sun was coming up east, if you were driving east, it would be coming up directly in front of you?
Yes.
Not so in North Dakota. It's still coming up a little bit to the south of us. you got to understand where we are up in North Dakota is totally different. But
okay, okay.
What I'm seeing, I've never seen in the sky before, and it's got to be Hellbop.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Well, yeah, I guess that applies, you know, to my geographic location. I guess it depends on where you are. Yes, it does. We'll ask Ellen Hill about that. But for me, in this part of the country, in the southwest, clearly to the east, then to the north a bit, and up about 20 degrees or so. And there she is. And it generally gets a little higher in the sky as the morning wears on before the sun comes up. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is David in Irmo, South Carolina.
Hello, David.
A couple of hours ago, you had a lady call in talking about the aurora.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that her son worked on the CP-140 aurora.
That's right.
That's an actual aircraft. It's a Canadian maritime reconnaissance aircraft based on the P-3 Orion.
Oh, you mean it's not the aurora?
No. Now, obviously, there is something out there causing those sonic booms and everything in California. So.
Oh, you bet.
So there actually is an aurora in use, but it's a 4-engine turboprop. So either somebody's playing games with names and that, or everybody's been really confused for a while.
Well, I fully expect to have an aurora car pretty soon. I mean, wouldn't that be a good name for a car?
I think they already have one.
An aurora?
I think so. I think it's either GM or Chrysler.
Figures.
One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
About the last time Richard Hoagland was on, he was talking about the T-Rex that they found the DNA in.
Right.
That's not the one that the government seized. There's another one they found a few months earlier in Montana.
What do you think they're going to do with the DNA now?
Well, I'm a paleontology intern at the South Carolina State Museum, and I had a chance to talk to the scientist who found it. And he says it's extremely fragmentary, and their best bet would be they might be able to figure out whether or not there's a genetic link between dinosaurs and birds. You might be able to confirm all the species.
And maybe use a little bird DNA to splice?
Well,
fill in the holes?
One scientist was saying that with Jurassic Park, if you tried to mix the frog DNA with the dinosaur DNA, you just get one really mean frog.
Boy, exactly what we need is a Tyrannosaurus Rex that can fly.
Yeah. Well, consider that most birds, actually all birds today, are direct descendants of dinosaurs.
Well, there are some who believe
that. Yeah, but they found a feathered dinosaur last year in China, and that shut a few people up.
They found what?
They found a dinosaur in China, a small dinosaur with downy sort of feathers that were visible imprinted in the stone.
You mean it was a dead dino?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very
I thought
dead.
You were saying it's
probably dead. Yeah, about 100 million years old or something.
Okay, well.
But I've seen a drawing of it, and it looks sort of like the down you'd see on a baby chick or something like that.
Interesting. All right. Well, listen, I got a break at the bottom of the hour. Thank you very much. Take care.
Moody River, more deadly than the veil is night.
For everybody in Ohio.
Moody River, your blood and water took my baby's life.
You people be careful out there. It's it's dangerous.
Came to the old oak tree. It stands beside the river where you were to meet me. On the ground, your glove I found with a note addressed to me. It read, dear love, I've done you wrong.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Midnight at the Oasis, send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our faces, tracing the romance in our head. Heaven's holding our head.
Art Bell is taking calls on the Wildcard Line at 702-727-1295. That's 702 727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
She is classy. Very classy, isn't she?
You don't have to answer. There's no need to see.
Coming to Boulder City, too.
I'll be your belly dancer.
This woman can belt out some jazz now, I'll tell you. She's into jazz. Okay, back to the lines we go. And east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Scott in Omaha.
Hi, Scott.
Just went outside and took a look at that fuzzy little Q-tip up in the air. My son has my binoculars hidden. I didn't want to wake him up at 5:30 in the morning, so I have to wait until tomorrow to see it with binoculars.
But you can see it with a naked eye, can't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I got an idea on the chupacabra that nobody's thought of, and I can't believe it.
What is it?
They're cold-blooded animals. They've been hibernating. It's just starting to get warm down in Texas. That's why that one came out.
Well, what about the Larsen ice shelf, which is cracking and preparing to fall off? Had you thought about that?
Yeah.
Maybe they were frozen in the Antarctic. And, of course, it's cracking and melting.
Sure. Well, they've been reported down in Puerto Rico for years now.
That's correct.
Okay. It's always warm down there.
Yep.
Now, as they're migrating further north into Mexico, the United States, and everything else, their northern migration has stopped. You know, there haven't been many reports since, what, September, October?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, boom, we have this one here last week.
True.
So things are about ready to break loose. It's starting to warm up here in Nebraska. We're starting to get into the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Have you seen the picture of the San Antonio chupa?
No, I haven't. I had your one from last year.
Okay. Well, you've got to get this new one. Take a look and let me know what you think.
Yeah, I was spying into some stuff on my computer and it blew up on me, so I've got to replace that. Somebody didn't like what I was looking at.
Your computer blew up?
Yes.
Sheesh. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck. I've had computers fail in various ways, but I've never had one blow up. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Pat from Burbank, California.
Hi, Pat.
I have two really great things to tell you about. And first, I want to tell your listeners, please stop asking Art how he's feeling. How is he doing? He's feeling fine. And just say hi. Nice to talk with you. 100 times a night, please.
I know. People can't help it, though. It's a reaction kind of thing.
I know. Maybe we can try and retrain him a little bit. First thing I got for you, I sent you a fax about a scientist that had a lab technician make the mistake and misinterpreted a B, letter B, for the letter D, and put an element in a particular concoction they were making, and by accident they came up with a compound that has magnetism about 125% more than what we've ever been able to make.
Wow.
And the implications are remarkable with motors and generators and some of these levitation devices. And, hey, and Levitron. Look at Levitron. We'll get it up there 3 inches right now.
I was about to say another inch.
Listen, I have one last really great thing. I have some pictures here that nobody's ever seen before. They're from the 70s when my aunt and I were playing with cameras and taking pictures and stuff. And I never really showed it to anybody except customers when I went from place to place repairing stuff.
Yes.
Well, these pictures will knock your socks off.
I like having my socks knocked off.
My aunt was very upset with her husband. And they were celebrating her son's 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
The person taking the camera with one of those 110 Instamatic cameras caught something on 7 frames of the pictures that we've got, about 7,
yes,
of a green interwoven mist. And I don't mean just, you know, a haze. I'm talking about something that if you look at it, it's like interwoven, and it's green.
Mm.
And every time you look at the pictures, it's wherever she appears in the picture, whether it be in the upper right-hand corner or in the bottom, it's hanging around her neck. It's near her forehead. It's emanating behind the wall where she was sitting at the time.
That's interesting. Now, do you Is there a way that you can scan these into a computer format, or?
I am very computer oriented. I don't have a scanner. I was hoping to maybe send them to you with a return address, stamped envelope, and everything to make sure that the postage was paid for coming back.
The problem with that is that if something gets lost, I feel absolutely horrible about it, and I get so much mail.
Yeah, I know.
That it can happen. So I'm
even with
very
certified
leery.
Mail? Even with certified?
You would think that would be all right, but, you know, it's. I would hope it would be all right, and I could scan them. I certainly have that ability.
Right. Yeah, if I had a friend that could do that, I would search it out here. But unfortunately, I could go to the electronics store and buy one and take it back the next day. But my integrity is a little bit too hard for that.
Let me think that over. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Of course, I would love to get them, but I really, really worry when it's. You know, a one-of-a-kind thing, and you're sending it, you want to get it back, that please don't do that. You know, I never thought of that. Go out and buy a scanner, scan the stuff, and take the scanner back the next day. No. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Dan in the industry.
Hello, Dan.
Say, last night, a guy from Tacoma was wondering where that, where Mills Hole is located. And if you go southwest out of Ellensburg, towards Highway 410. It's about halfway between Ellensburg and 410. So if he's listening, that'll pretty much pinpoint.
That's where Menestash is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about 10, 15 miles out of Ellensburg.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting story. I
saw another newspaper article out of Ellensburg or somewhere or another. It says, Mel's story full of holes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it
I think reporters cannot resist whole analogies, and I understand that.
Yeah, boy, I'd sure like to know if there's anything to it. I don't know, maybe if somebody could fly over it and get some video shots of the area. Of course, by now they'd probably have erected a building over the hole.
I got a fax from a guy in Washington, D.C. who said he's got a hole there, too.
Huh.
Except he keeps having things pop out of it. Dead cows, refrigerators, monofilament line.
Oh, God, I love your show. There's nothing like it, man. It's like every night we get to go on this big adventure, all of us together.
I know, and it's never quite the same, is it?
Yeah.
All right, Dan.
Better.
Thanks.
Okay.
See you later. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. My name's Ron.
Ron, you have hum in your phone.
Huh?
You have hum.
Hum?
Hum.
Yeah, that's probably because I'm on a cordless phone.
What kind of cord? Well, no, don't answer that. It's a lousy one, whatever it is. Do you have a real phone there?
No, I sure don't. Maybe if I get a little closer to the actual unit, it might go away.
It's all right. You're a great advertisement for digital phones.
Thank you.
So go ahead.
Art, I had a question. Actually, it took me a long time to get through to you, but my question is earlier you referred to the, or you implied that you had some information on a possible depopulationist movement. I think that there's probably a lot of people who would be interested in something like that, and I understand the danger of exposing a truth like that to an individual, but being that you have such a wide audience, you know, it seems like something that you might be able to come out with to a mass of people.
Were you not able to discern by the tone of my voice that I was kidding?
Sometimes it's hard to tell. Sometimes a lot of people, even when they're telling the truth, have a somewhat sarcastic tone to their voice as just a means of.
Yeah, but mine was dripping. I mean, come on. I told the guy I know about, but if I were to tell you, I'd have to kill you. Now, what does that tell you? You didn't really.
To tell you the truth, that doesn't sound like that illogical of a statement. I mean, depending on the circumstances, because someone who actually did have information of that sort might actually, use something like that to dissuade a person from actually wanting to attain that.
All right, then. You're bound and determined to believe it. There's nothing I can do to dissuade you. So, yes, I know all about the depopulation movement. Yes, I'm in the Trilateral Commission. No, I'm not allowed to talk about any of it, okay?
Okay, but now, okay.
All right, what more do you want?
Well, no. I mean, I agree. I'm also associated with the CIA. If you don't...
And the FBI and the DEA.
If you didn't have any information on it, yeah, that's fine. I understand the fact that you're saying that you don't have any information.
I give up. I appreciate that. Goodbye. I give up. Get a new phone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Kate from Dallas.
Hi, Kate.
And, I think that, Perfect 10?
Yes.
I think that I might have a solution to her problem. Well, you said that you would want to, rent out the uplink room or whatever. However you said it. Well, what I think you ought to do is invite her, and just pay her way to go up there and stay with y'all for a night or two. And that would increase the value of the uplink room. And you can have a big picture in there. And I mean, surely that would increase it.
Oh, Lord.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think you sound pretty high on the scale yourself, actually.
Well, actually, I think maybe C and I could be together instead. How about that?
C and I?
I'm just teasing.
Ah, you're a Dallas girl, huh?
I'm a Dallas girl. You know what?
What?
I got this thing. I'm a paramedic, and I went on a retreat, and kind of like a search and rescue deal.
Sure.
And I met this guy there, and he was really pretty cool.
Mm.
And he gave me the seat, and... talks about the Antichrist. Guess who the seat says the Antichrist is?
Me.
Well, actually, that's probably a pretty logical choice. But no. Prince Charles.
Prince Charles?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Hmm.
Says that he has, says that the Bible gives 42 sons of the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
and he has 27 of them. Kind of weird, huh? He even talks about Hellboth in it. Anyway, I'm going to send you a copy of it because it's really long. It's really kind of funky, I think.
Yeah, me too.
But I thought you might kind of like to hear that. I've never heard that kind of a link, but anyway.
All right, thank you, dear. See you later. What would you say, folks? That voice, that was good. Moving up on toward an 8 to 10, wouldn't you say? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. This is Marcus from Portland, the aforementioned pistol packing pagan.
Oh, Marcus, how you doing?
I'm fine, sir, and I wanted to thank the Perfect Ten for her very kind words.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I follow the W.C. Fields School of Child Rearing. Yes, W.C. Fields came up with a notion that...
Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
And you decide whether or not you're going to drive in the bung. Cruel, but, you know, for small, helpless, furry children that I've occasionally run across, this is not really an inhumane response. It's probably justifiable homicide.
Either that or in the oven at 375 for about an hour.
I love children. Indeed, I do. Boiled, broiled, or minus two. Yeah, well, there's that dietary preference.
There you go. I'm afraid you have burst her bubble.
Oh, well, you know, another illusion bites the dust, but we have a good time on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to comment, you had a response from a lady who was Miss Nude Oregon, I believe, on last night's show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a small universe because I also participated as one of the staff people to help produce the Miss Nude Oregon pageant for 1995 and 1996.
Rough job.
Actually, it was pretty thankless because we were involved in the front end doing security and selling tickets, so we didn't really get to see much of the pageant per se.
That is thankless.
But I do want to have one word on that. I think the ladies who participated in that contest and participate in the topless industry generally are given a bad rap. I've known many of them. They are sweethearts and wonderful people, and they don't deserve 1% of the grief that they get. So, guys, if you're out there... be polite and tip hardy because, you know, they're working for a living.
Oh, absolutely.
And it sort of parallels my own, you know, particular libertarian bent of sticking the thumb in the religious right's eye. It's sort of a pension of mine. I really can't help resist.
Well, don't try not to take so much public joy in it.
Well, you know, if they're going to kill you and eat you, at least you can have a good time on the menu, right?
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell, how you doing? It's Heavy Barrel calling you from South Korea.
South Korea? Wow.
You got my email there. Just before I left Arizona, I emailed you real quick.
Yes, I did get your email. Thank you. Where are you in South Korea?
Osan Air Base, 45 miles south of the DMZ.
Well, look, you know, Korea is one place we're hearing a lot about these days, and I guess there's going to be some kind of conference, but the tension is very high. What's going on?
Don't really know.
Yeah, that's typical in country. Rarely do you know. That's true. How's the weather there? It's pretty cold, I imagine.
It's not bad. It's about like Arizona was in the early morning. It's about 40s, 50s.
Really?
It's been okay.
Okay. Well, what are you doing there? What's your career field?
I work in ammo.
Ammo, huh?
Yep.
That's a good field.
I build the munitions that go on the airplane.
You actually build the munitions or what?
Well, they come in different components and stuff, and we assemble them.
Oh, I see. Yes. Interesting job.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I miss calling you and talking to you every once in a while.
Well, how do you like, what are your impressions of Korea in general? I mean, it's a pretty big culture shock from Arizona to Korea.
Yeah, it's a lot different. My dad was in the Air Force, and we were on Guam for a while, so I had a little bit of Asian experience, not much, kind of an Americanized, you know, experience there, but now, you know, I'm here, I've been getting out and, you know, going down and seeing some of the sites and so forth. So.
Oh, look, Guam is like Kansas compared to Korea.
You got that right, buddy. You definitely got that right.
How long will you be in Korea?
I'll be here for 1 year, sir.
For 1 year, huh?
Yep.
Well, I can tell you're in the military. Everybody in the military always calls you sir. But, you know, I was only an enlisted guy, even when I was in.
That's me, too. I'm busting my hump trying to make staff right now, Art.
Oh, you are? Are you going to stay in the service?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I like it.
So it's a good career?
Absolutely. I'd highly recommend it.
Well, listen, I would hope that you would call us from time to time, and particularly if something begins to come down in Korea, I am not convinced, you know, it's one of the world's hot spots, and so if something happens, we're going to depend on you to call and report.
Well, you know, I can't compromise anything, though. I can give you the company line, that's about it.
The company line, huh? Well, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, let's do so on 20 meters some night, huh? I'll write you a letter to your P.O. box, and we'll set up a sketch.
Are you on the air on 20 over there already?
Oh, yes. Can I give my call? It's protected. It's assigned to a P.O. box. They can't find my...
Yeah, okay, go ahead and give your call, then.
All right, anybody wishing to look up in an international call book and write to me, it's HL9RK, Hotel Lima 9, Romeo Kilo.
HL9RK.
Yep, the radio kid.
All right, well, conditions on 20 have really been lousy lately, but let's do it. Let's wait till we get some good conditions and put a schedule together. How's that?
It sounds great. I got a guy in California on 75, believe it or not, running barefoot, 100 watts into a dipole last Saturday.
Oh, come on.
No.
On 75 meters?
On 75. I kid you not.
I'll try that.
That's a great hobby you introduced me into, Art.
All right, my friend. We'll try that even on 75, if you would like.
Sure?
Yeah, hell yeah. I can sit here. I can run a kilowatt. I got a big antenna up.
Yep.
All right, I got to go.
Hey, you take care, bud, and give my best to Ramon and everybody else.
Take care. Bye-bye from Korea. Wow. Man. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Karen from Fair Oaks.
Fair Oaks. All right.
Okay. I was out there trying to see the comet, and I can't.
You can't find it?
Uh-uh. Would I be still looking in the same direction?
Well, it should be out there by now. And again, yes, you'd be looking east and a little north.
Okay. May I have your post office number again?
Yes. P.O. Box 4755.
4755.
Pahrump, Nevada. That's P-A-H-R-U-M-P,
mm-hmm.
Nevada. Zip code 89041.
89041. I want to send
dash,
you a cosmic map
dash,
from the feng shui lady.
Dash, wait a minute, dash 4755.
Right.
All right?
All right, and are you playing CDs when you play music?
Am I playing what?
CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Maria do, if you don't like my peaches, then don't shake my tree?
I think she did.
I'm surprised you haven't played it.
Well, listen, I'm going to give you the honors. You know what they are, right?
Yes, I do.
Do
it's
it.
Looking skyward, America, and stay safe.
Look skyward and stay safe. That's good advice, because there's really something to see up there. Go take a look. That's it, folks. I'm afraid that's it. So, from Mr. Trilateral to the world, good night, Cosmos.